Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm not Ben Shapiro. I'm Michael Knowles. Wonderful to be with you as always, as we just slide down that slippery slope toward decadence and decay. I am glad to be along for the ride with all of you. We see the evidence of social decay and collapse all over the place. We've talked a lot about transing the kids. We've talked a lot about the collapse of faith in our institutions. I want to talk about Cracker Barrel, okay? Cracker Barrel, I love Cracker Barrel. I think it's a great restaurant and country store. And the other day, I saw an advertisement from Cracker Barrel that I could not believe. Cracker Barrel was offering a non-meat sausage, an impossible sausage. And I thought, not one single person who has ever walked into Cracker Barrel has wanted a non-meat sausage. That not one vegetarian, not one vegan, not one nothing has ever. I said, where on earth? This is obviously not in response to consumer demand. Where did they get this from? I said, I know. I know where they got this from. Because my friend Vivek Ramaswamy has been talking about this a lot. Institutional investors are pushing their woke agenda on all the companies that they invest in. I said, let me just look up. I want to know the biggest investors in Cracker Barrel. Because, you know, one of the great offenders on the ESG movement, this woke investing movement, has been BlackRock. They've been in the news a lot. I said, let me Google. And there it is. One of the top two institutional investors in Cracker Barrel is BlackRock. Now, that's it. I'm not saying I have any other evidence that BlackRock is shipping fake meat to Cracker Barrel, but that's my conclusion. It's wokeness being pushed, not from the people, but being pushed from the highest echelons of high finance. Here to help me understand what ESG means for our culture is that very same friend, Vivek Ramaswamy, co-founder and executive chairman of Strive Asset Management, New York Times bestselling author, and the author of the forthcoming book, Nation of Victims, Identity Politics, The Death of Merit, and The Path Back to Excellence. Vivek, first of all, thank you for coming on the show. Second of all, am I a crazy conspiracy theory on my BlackRock ESG fake meat Cracker Barrel observations?
You know, I don't think you're a crazy conspiracy theorist, Michael, but I think that it's a cultural tone that's broader than any given mandate to a given company.
Agree,
all right. So, you know, and actually funny, it's funny you bring up the vegetarian point. I'm a vegetarian. I actually wrote an op-ed right. in the Wall Street Journal in February 2020, back when I was a biotech CEO, saying that, look, I'm vegetarian. I don't mandate vegetarianism at our company events. We offer vegetarian options. We offer nut-free options. But we do it because that might be what employees who come to company events want, yeah. not because I'm foisting my morality using corporate power to do it. And that was actually the first of a series of articles that I began writing that led to my books, that led to the new business. But the reality is, if you look at who are the top shareholders of Disney, right? You talked about transing the kids is one of the things you mentioned in that intro. The top shareholders of Disney are BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard.
Yeah.
And they set a cultural tone through the mandates that they deliver to some sectors, like the U.S. energy sector. Some proposals that BlackRock will vote in favor of, like the racial equity audit proposal at Apple, which the management team of Apple recommended against, but BlackRock forced upon Apple. And then what happens is the rest of corporate America takes notice. They understand the cultural tone that's been set. These are what your shareholders want to see. And then they ultimately buckle and immediately get their activities in line, because at the end of the day, executive compensation depends on what your large shareholders say. Your ability to have your own board selected depends on being voted in favor of by those large shareholders. So it's not really like a conspiracy theory in the sense that it's a direct action every time, but they take enough prominent action and use the stick such that the rest of the companies know exactly how to fall in line. That's how the game's played.
Of course, because I actually should have pointed out that the number two investor in Cracker Barrel is BlackRock. The number one is Vanguard. And as you point out, it's Vanguard, State Street. Of course, this is true for so many of the companies. We know exactly where these investors stand, and the companies have fallen in line. So you alluded to it a little bit earlier. You have a new company to push back against this.
That's right. So this is Strive Asset Management, new company I founded. And actually, Michael, this was a big week. We actually listed our first exchange-traded fund on the New York Stock Exchange. I rang the bell on Wednesday afternoon, the closing bell, and I'm proud to say that this is actually, the New York Stock Exchange folks tell us, one of the most successful ETF launches of the year, actually in recent years. The ticker is DRLL, Drill. and it is a U.S. energy index fund, where what it does that's different is it tells those U.S. energy companies, it mandates them as a shareholder to drill, to frack, to produce more energy if that's what makes them most profitable over the long run, as I believe it is, without regard to any environmental, social, or other agendas. That is different than the message that BlackRock delivers. That is different than the State Street and the Vanguard message. It's different than the message that nearly any asset manager delivers to the U.S. energy sector. But the irony is that's actually contributed to massive underinvestment in energy production. It's resulted in systematic shortages of energy supply in the United States and around the world that actually create an economic opportunity for U.S. energy producers to fill that gap. But the irony is the large institutional shareholders of those firms have applied the handcuffs that prevent them from actually capturing that opportunity. So, Michael, it's not just the problem of using other people's money to represent views in corporate America's boardrooms that most of those other people disagree with. Probably most of the viewers of this program, A, disagree with those social agendas, and B, have money invested in these institutions like BlackRock and Vanguard that are advancing these toxic political values. But it's also that that causes them to actually suffer economic damage when energy companies are less valuable and less successful because of those shareholder-imposed mandates. So I got sick of complaining. I wrote a couple of books. I write, you know, articles in the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere. I said, okay, I'm done talking about this. Now it's time to actually do something about it, which is why we launched our first fund. And hopefully this is just the beginning.
I love it. I love seeing people take the complaining and the criticism, all of which is, I think, legitimate in this case, and then actually doing something about it. It's something we here at the Daily Wire have been trying to do. We say we don't want to just comment on culture and complain about it. We actually want to build the culture. We want to offer children's programming. We want to offer new entertainment products. We want to offer razors when the subscription razor company attacks people for thinking boys and girls are different. You know, we're going to offer that direct-to-consumer product as well. So I really love what you're doing with Strive. We're also seeing pushback right now at the political level against ESG, actually against BlackRock specifically. There are a number of Republican state attorneys general that just informed BlackRock last week that its shareholder activism, all this ESG woke nonsense, may violate multiple state laws. So my question then is, if the companies don't like this stuff, if the consumers frequently don't like this stuff, if the state attorneys general don't like this stuff because they might be in violation of the laws, why on earth are Vanguard and BlackRock and State Street continuing to push it?
So the answer is actually a lot of their clients still do want them to push it. Big ones like CalPERS in the state of California or the state of New York. And what happened is the rest of their clients, red states, everyday citizens, got taken along for a ride, where CalPERS in New York would go in and say things like, presumably, we don't want to do business with a firm unless that firm adopts company-wide commitments, firm-wide commitments to abide by the Paris Climate Accords, to abide by net zero standards by 2050, to abide by racial equity proposals, et cetera. So what do they say? Okay, well, great. We'll get on that ESG train. You guys are the big clients. The small ones we're not going to pay attention to. But the small ones collectively actually are even bigger than the big ones. Huh. And I think that all of this was actually relatively recent, too. It's worth pointing that out, Michael. It was only in 2018 that BlackRock really started getting into this social values game, right? They got big in the early 2010s. They really started scaling big. And then in 2018, that's really when we saw that shift. So in the scheme of things, this is still relatively recent. It's only 4 years old. At the end of the day, there haven't yet been time for other market participants to step up and fill the void. That's the opportunity I saw. I wanted to found Strive, not just because I saw it as a business opportunity, though that was part of it, but because I think this can actually deliver a solution to the very problems I've been writing about for the last several years as a writer and as an author as well. I'd been an entrepreneur before. I said, let's put the two together and solve the problem. So in a certain sense, I think it's what we're seeing right now is a problem that's in the process of being fixed. I can tell you firsthand from building this company, there are obstacles, okay? A lot of those bureaucrats in the states, even red states, are really reluctant to change their behaviors because, you know what, there's no upside for them. There's only risk in making a change they perceive. So it's going to take, actually, I think, the activation of the everyday citizen to say that, you know what, even if you're a state bureaucrat, guess what? It's not your money. It's my money in that pension fund. It's my money in that state treasury. And I think we need to get that managerial class, that bureaucratic class in government and in the states that have been captured by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, to remind them that they, too, are not investing their own money. They're investing the money of everyday citizens. It's the will of the everyday citizen and the interest of the everyday citizen that matters. And that's what Strive's mission is all about. So we started with making it really simple, right? list something on the New York Stock Exchange, anyone can buy it, BRLL, drill. And it's not just a matter of doing business with somebody whose values align with you. I mean, that's, I'm not belittling that concept. I think that's really important. But I think above and beyond that, here in the asset management marketplace, you actually are sending a message with your shareholder power. So it's not just sending a message. As a shareholder, you actually have the power to direct the way companies behave. And so the way Strive offers to direct the way companies behave is to focus them exclusively on excellence over politics, exclusively on products for profit rather than social agendas or ESG agendas. And for people who want that vehicle, it now exists in the form of at least the Energy Sector Index Fund. And that's the first step of many in the coming months and years ahead. But I think that's what we're going to see is we're in the middle, in the early stages of delivering the solution. I think the solution is going to come through the market much sooner than it comes through our politics. But in a certain sense, states themselves, when states are talking about moving their money, that's not their capacity as a regulator. That's their capacity as a market actor, because the states actually manage pension funds of their own citizens' money. I think that's the next frontier of change we need to see. And I think it's going to take a productive and positive uprising of everyday citizens, like you saw in school boards over the course of the last year when it came to schools, to now see that with the pension fund system, to be able to sort of break the managerial class's dominance over managing everyday citizens' money.
That's a really important point, because it always drives me crazy. I will talk to conservatives and they'll say, I hate that Disney is going to trans the kids. I hate that they, I think one of the Disney executives said, I put my not so secret gay agenda into all of the kids' content, little tiny kids. And you think, okay, yeah, that's probably not great. And I say, so what are you doing about it? They say, well, I can't cancel my Disney Plus subscription. You know, my kid really likes Mickey Mouse or whatever. And you say, so you're supporting it. You're part of the problem. And I love that you're observing this in even sometimes red states where you'll say, okay, you oppose this wokeness, you oppose ESG. Great, I've got an alternative here that you can invest in. We're talking about pension funds. Maybe we're talking about endowments at certain universities or wherever. And they say, I'm sticking with Vanguard or I'm sticking with BlackRock. And you say, well, how about you put your money and the money of your clients and your constituents in some cases, where all of our mouths are. I've only got about 30 seconds left, but how are we going to move that inertia? How are we going to get these?
I'll close with a short anecdote that may make your blood boil. But anyway, it's interesting. I was talking to one state, so there was a publicly elected official that reached out and said, hey, I want to learn more about what you guys are doing. Got the executive director of the state pension fund. But then the person who joined was a member of the investment staff who wasn't invited to the call, who actually started blockading everything and said, you know what? I'm worried by bringing up these issues, you're going to put our executive director in the line of fire when we just want to stay away from it.
Yep.
So I said, okay, where are your money being managed today? It's none other than a bunch of asset managers that are ESG-linked asset managers that are imposing these political agendas that most of their citizens didn't want to see in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect example of how a member of the bureaucratic class is trying to seize power from the politically accountable class. The politically accountable class is actually waking up because their citizens are telling them, we're going to put you out of your job and vote you out of office if you don't actually represent our interests. But it's that bureaucratic hired managerial layer that I think everyday citizens are going to really have to put the politically accountable class in charge, governors, treasurers.
Such a great point.
Attorneys general, that's what we're going to have to see.
That's such a great point, because
early stages.
The market will react, and even the politicians, they will react because they rely on their constituents for their jobs. But you got to get past that desiccated, technocratic managerial class. Vivek, wonderful to be with you as always. DRLL, I'm Michael Knowles. Strive is the name of the company. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our fall semester offers flexible class times and formats with online and more in-person offerings. Plan your tomorrow today by enrolling at Shasta College. Fall semester classes begin August 15th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Qualify.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm not Ben Shapiro. I'm Michael Knowles. You can catch me on the Michael Knowles Show podcast. That is Knowles spelled just like Beyonce. To my knowledge, no relation. I'm not totally sure, though. That would be an awkward family reunion. You can find my book with words, Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds, and my book without words, Reasons to Vote for Democrats, a comprehensive guide proven truer and truer every day, especially after this unprecedented raid on President Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago. The plot thickens on the Mar-a-Lago raid. The sequence of events. 40 FBI agents show up at Mar-a-Lago. They raid Trump's house. There's not a lot of information at first. We're told that they were searching for some kinds of documents. We're told they were doing this because Trump violated the Presidential Records Act. Presidential Records Act says that the National Archives, rather, owns every piece of paper in the White House. And so Trump took some pieces of paper, and this is very, very bad, and the agents go to take it back. Now, that story didn't make a whole lot of sense because lots of presidents violate the Presidential Records Act. Barack Obama did that. Millions of records that he took to Chicago did not give straight to the National Archives, said that he was going to digitize them. Millions of documents, 5 years later, not a single one digitized. Richard Nixon violated it. LBJ violated it. So that doesn't seem to hold a lot of water. Even stranger, no one took responsibility for the raid. The FBI said it was the DOJ. The DOJ agent seemed to say it was the FBI. The White House said we had nothing to do with it. There were some rumors that the White House did have something to do with it. Finally, yesterday, Merrick Garland, the attorney general, comes out. He says, I made the call. I, at the DOJ, made the call to send the agents in, and I'm not going to tell you why. So he holds his whole press conference, says it was really important. How dare you besmirch the integrity of me, Merrick Garland, and the DOJ and the FBI, you know, the same agencies that have been lying and cheating and colluding with Democrats for 6 years now to undermine Donald Trump. Yeah, how dare you attack our integrity? But I'm not going to tell you why we did this raid, but just trust me, it's really, really important. Okay, now you see a leaked report out of the Washington Post. Washington Post says, citing anonymous sources, of course, that it was because Donald Trump had nuclear secrets, classified information, and nuclear classified information. Okay. Donald Trump was the president of the United States. He had the right to declassify whatever he wanted, anything. And what nuclear information could it possibly be? What are they talking about? Trump has now responded. That's just to catch you up. Trump has now responded, and he has dismissed this all as a hoax. He says, quote, Nuclear weapons issue is a hoax. Just like Russia was a hoax. Two impeachments were a hoax. The Mueller investigation was a hoax, and much more. Same sleazy people involved. Why wouldn't the FBI allow the inspection of areas at Mar-a-Lago with our lawyers or others present? Made them wait outside in the heat, wouldn't let them get even close. Said absolutely not. Planting information, anyone? Reminds me of a Christopher Steele dossier. Between these two claims here, the claim from Merrick Garland, very super serious Merrick Garland with his tie buttoned up, the law must be executed without favor for anyone. We've got to make sure that we have the rule of law. And he's a very, very serious swamp creature. And Donald Trump, who's a very eccentric creature. I trust Trump over the DOJ and the FBI for the reasons that Trump just laid out. The DOJ, the political hacks who run the DOJ and the FBI have squandered their credibility. They squandered it on the Russia collusion hoax. They squandered it on Crossfire Hurricane when they colluded with the Hillary Clinton campaign and then actually fabricated evidence to present to a FISA court judge to get the license to spy on the Trump campaign, which they then denied. They said, we didn't spy on the Trump campaign. It turned out they did. And then they come back with the Mueller investigation, $32 million, multiple years. They get nothing. Then it's just attack after attack after attack. This is the same agency that hoaxed a plot to kidnap Democrat governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer. And people actually got off the hook because of this, because it was a total Fed setup. So they just don't have credibility anymore. And so if I'm asked, do I trust Merrick Garland or Donald Trump on this? I trust Trump. What do they even mean? Nuclear weapons. He didn't have a nuclear weapons at Mar-a-Lago. He didn't have, was it the nuclear codes? I have to change my Apple password every 6 months. I should hope that there's at least the same level of security that I have on my iPhone. I hope that there's the same level of security for America's nuclear weapons. And then why the raid? Why the raid? Because what they're saying in the Washington Post now is, if this is true, it's a big if my aunt had testicles, she'd be my uncle. If I had ham, I could have ham and eggs if I had some eggs. If this is true, it would suggest that the material residing unlawfully at Mar-a-Lago may have been classified at the highest level. That would lend itself to greater hair-on-fire motivation to recover that material as quickly as possible. Okay, Joe Biden's been president for 19 months. Where's the hair-on-fire motivation? The DOJ knew about these documents. They apparently saw the documents. They told Donald Trump, hey, make sure you put an extra padlock on the room with the documents. And it's just physical documents. How on earth were the documents even going to get out? Compared to, say, Hillary Clinton has digital documents on her email server. Hair on fire. Waiting 19 months to recover these documents that it's now being insinuated by the anonymous sources in the Washington Post, which is the Pravda bullhorn for the corrupt swamp. Now, this is urgent. It's a matter of urgent national security. Why'd you wait 19 months? Did they not know where the documents were? That suggests a level of incompetence that I guess we've come to expect. Really, I think, probably, if I were a gambling man, having lived through the last 6-7 years of DOJ, FBI hoaxes against Donald Trump, I'd put my money on Trump. I'm Michael Knowles. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Don't go anywhere.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Hey everyone, Kevin Cry here. I'd like to invite you to listen to my new radio show every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. We'll be talking about everything Shasta County, family, work, recreation, and the topics most important to all of us living here in the Great North State. We'll have roundtable discussions and different guests every week to share with all of you what is going on in Shasta County. Join me, Kevin Cry, every Tuesday right here from 6 to 7 p.m. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2600 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm not Ben Shapiro. I'm Michael Knowles. Wonderful to be with you as always. If you are listening to this show in your car right now and you are driving around Boston, I would recommend just keep an eye out through the windshield and the windows to avoid any fire and brimstone that might land on your city right now, because I think Boston has now reached full-on Sodom and Gomorrah level status of decadence and abuse. New headline just came out from the Boston Children's Hospital. This is not even some undercover report. The Boston Children's Hospital is promoting it itself. The hospital is offering pediatric hysterectomies. gender-affirming, quote-unquote, womb removal for young women, for minors, because of the transgender craze. I always think, whenever we get to some story about, I don't know, a drag queen story hour, I think we've reached the bottom of the slippery slope. Then we get to one about how there's now drag queen story hour in, not in libraries, but in elementary schools. Now it's not just elementary schools, it's in preschools. Now you've got children, quote unquote, transitioning in elementary schools. Parents are not notified. I mean, every time I think I've reached the bottom of that slope, we somehow descend even further. Now we're talking about hysterectomies for minors. Here to help me make sense of that, if there's any sense to be made, Dr. Deborah So, author of The End of Gender and the host of the fittingly titled Deborah So podcast. Deborah, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for having me.
So I guess it's a failure of my own imagination. I keep thinking we've reached the end of this, and then they start cutting out the wombs of young girls. How is this legal? What is the scientific or medical argument for this? And I guess most importantly, how do we stop it?
Yeah, it's really devastating. And I have to say it speaks to the power of activists in this moment. And also I think how intimidated and scared medical professionals are, experts in the field, because they don't want to have their livelihoods ruined by activists who are pushing for this agenda. And they do face potentially serious consequences in some cases, having their licenses removed. You know, here in Canada, we have laws that criminalize any attempts at reconciling a child's gender and not advocating for affirmative therapy. So hysterectomy involves removing the uterus, removing the fallopian tubes, the cervix, which is the opening of the uterus, can potentially also involve removing the ovaries. And I do not believe that a young child, a minor, has the emotional maturity to make long-term, potentially permanent decisions about their fertility and their bodies. It's so inappropriate, and it's very upsetting to see this happening, but here we are. In terms of how to stop it, I mean, I wish there was more courage in the field, but people pay really, you know, in some cases, horrific consequences for speaking out against this.
But isn't the argument, I'll try to be devil's advocate here, and in this case, I think really that's the right title, devil's advocate. What they are saying is that transgenderism is real. Some men, people who look like men, are actually secretly girls. And so this causes a great deal of discomfort, and that's why their bodies need to be mutilated in some cases, or they need to go on hormones to look more like the gender or the sex that they feel like, and that this is not just a condition that comes on at age 25, but this is something that really is intrinsic to who you are. It's innate. And anyway, it's very difficult to bring the body in line with the perceived gender identity after puberty. And so we've really got to take all of these steps before puberty, because a kid who is castrated or sterilized or has her womb removed before puberty is more likely to resemble the opposite sex than they would be after puberty. And that's why we've got to trans the little kids. Isn't that, that's basically the argument they're making, right?
Right. And with the hysterectomy, it's usually done as a prophylaxis. So if a child is on testosterone for a number of years, there's a risk of endometrial cancer. So this is something that's done preemptively to prevent that, and also potentially infection that can occur. So yeah, there's a very common narrative that being trans or gender dysphoria has to do with being born, having the wrong brain in your body, or having the wrong body for your brain. In many cases, there is a lot of comorbidity. There are psychological issues in many cases. Studies have shown this for many people, especially with regard to this more recent spike we see in terms of young women and adolescent girls who are wanting to transition very quickly with no previous history of gender dysphoria. There is a lot of comorbidity and psychopathology. Many of them are lesbian and they're not comfortable with their sexuality. Many are on the autism spectrum. These are issues that are not being discussed in therapy. In many cases, there is no even therapy taking place before the decision to go down this path. It's not good in terms of long-term care. It's very much about, you know, listening to the patient and what they want in this exact moment. And that may or may not be what's in the best interest of them, especially not when it's a child.
Certainly. Of course. I was at a university. I was giving a speech on transgenderism, and a gal came up at the end and she said, "Hey, Michael, thanks for speaking out on this, because I was almost led into a transition at a very young age because the doctors didn't diagnose my autism." She said, "I'm autistic, and very often people who want to transition are autistic, and that's either not known or it's not fully understood, the relationship here." And so I then went into other sorts of therapies, and now I recognize that I'm not actually a boy and that I've got these other problems that I'm working on. But had my family not had the kind of basic common sense that boys aren't actually girls and vice versa, they would have chopped me up. They would have put me on all sorts of hormones and chemicals, could have sterilized me, really could have seriously damaged my life. And I think, how many other cases are there like this?
Yeah, and what I also find very disturbing is the mainstreaming of this trendiness towards non-binary. So as I'm sure your audience and Ben's audience knows, there are two sexes, two genders. Non-binary is not a thing. This is just a very much it's a political movement, if anything. It's a way for people to say, "I'm a progressive," but instead they say they're non-binary. And there are now, I mean, surgical interventions being taken place to help facilitate someone who wants to live as something in between male and female. So you have double mastectomies that are available. I know you've talked about this previously, nullification surgeries,
yeah,
in which someone can completely remove their genitalia have a surgical intervention so that they have both sets of genitalia. And, you know, it's one thing I would say if there's maybe a medical literature to show that this is something that is a true phenomenon or that people are functioning better after. But even still, I mean, there's no legitimate scientific research to show that there's such a thing as living between both genders or both sexes. What I find disturbing, though, is that there is this more recent push in terms of scientific papers coming out that are claiming that this is a thing. But if you are in the field, I mean, you know legitimately that this is very much political. It's very ideological.
Well, and of course it is, because even if one were to indulge the premise of transgenderism, which I don't recommend doing and I certainly don't indulge, but even if one were to indulge that, I think the idea of non-binary has to be a step too far, right? The idea that we all are going to become Barbie dolls or something is just so obviously absurd. It does not exist, you know, anywhere in reality. It wasn't even a concept until about 5 seconds ago. And your point is so well taken that really when someone says, "I am non-binary," it's just a synonym for progressive. I'm not a stodgy conservative. I don't subscribe to that old kind of Christian morality or something. I'm part of this new hip movement. But the consequences of this are really devastating. I've only got about 30 seconds left. But you mentioned that the hysterectomies are frequently done to prevent cancers, which, you know, no one ever talks about all the terrible consequences that come from the transitioning itself. But I have to imagine it's not great for a young girl's health to have her womb removed at 16 or 17.
No, and I mean, at that age, are they even really thinking about wanting to have children? I don't think most teenagers have any sort of conception about what they want to be doing, even into their 20s. So I've heard from so many detransitioners, and it just breaks my heart, because my hope is that not many more continue to make these decisions that end up not being right for them.
Of course. Dr. Deborah So, where can people find you?
You can find me at drdeborahso.com. You can get The End of Gender on my website and Simon & Schuster's website, and my podcast is available everywhere.
Deborah, so wonderful to be with you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. We'll be right back.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott.
That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlie's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Tutankhamun, wonderful things, treasures from the Pharaoh's tomb is open now through September 5th in Reading at Turtle Bay Museum, featuring authentic reproductions of King Tut's ancient Egyptian treasures. Presented by Senator Kay Maurice and Marianne Johannesson in association with the Museum of Ancient Wonders. This exhibition is included with paid park admission, free for Turtle Bay members. Tutankhamun, wonderful things, treasures from the Pharaoh's tomb, open now through September 5th at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is La Unica Dominican Primeros. Premium shade-grown Connecticut wrappers combined with a long filler blend of aged Cuban seed Dominican tobaccos. Providing a smooth, mellow to medium-bodied experience, it's a rich and balanced selection with subtle hints of nuts, cream, and fruit. La Unica Dominican Primeros. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I am not Ben Shapiro. I'm Michael Knowles. It's wonderful to be with you. I've been with you most of this week, and it's been wonderful. If you want more one day when I'm gone from this particular show, go check out the Michael Knowles Show at the Daily Wire, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, Google Play, Radio, wherever you get your fine podcasts. You can also get my book, Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds, number one national bestseller, no matter what the New York Times wants to say about it. Or Reasons to Vote for Democrats, a comprehensive guide proven truer every single day with all of its blank pages. I love getting into Ben's mailbag. Let's jump right into it. First question up from Mason. Hey, Ben, I just accepted a position to be a high school English teacher at a private Christian school. I'm not crazy. And what books do you think high school students should read? Obviously, your Third Thursday book club, but any more? Love the show. Thanks again, best, Mason. Off the top of my head, what should these high school students read? Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky. It's one of my favorite books I read in high school. Really, really important because it takes on this problem that we're confronted with in modern society, even though it was written, what, a century and a half ago. And the problem is nihilism or materialism or the idea that we don't have moral obligations or the idea that we can just pursue our own will regardless of logic or the moral order. And spoiler alert, turns out that isn't true. So Crime and Punishment's great. Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. I didn't really like it when I read it in high school, and I recently reread it. And what an amazing book. What a fabulous novel about virtue that's a sort of delightful novel in and of itself. Another great English novel, A Tale of Two Cities. Another one I didn't really like in high school, really, really love, especially that it's about the French Revolution. Fabulous, fabulous book. One that they might like in high school, and it's kind of dark and edgy and funny, going back to the Russians, would be The Death of Ivan Ilyich by Leo Tolstoy. And that's a great, it's a short little book, so the students, I think, will like it, you know. They'll get to have read a great work that is kind of edgy, and it's about death, and it's, you know, classic Russians just talking about death and despair and destruction. Really, really good. Those are just off the top of my head. From David, Good morning, Ben. What is your religious answer to claims of evolution and the Big Bang? Do they contradict religion, or can the creation story found in Genesis coexist with these ideas? Thanks. Oh, certainly can coexist. I mean, I'm not making any affirmative claims about evolution or the Big Bang or any theories, modern theories of creation, but it certainly can coexist with the traditional Genesis account. In fact, I know they can, because the Big Bang was discovered by a Catholic priest, by Father George Lemaître. And actually, the term, the Big Bang, was a term of derision initially by atheists and materialists, because they were fighting against this idea that a Catholic priest had discovered proof of the Genesis account, that creation happens out of nothing in what they called the Big Bang. So that I don't see any problem. And even with certain kinds of evolution, you have to be a little more specific with exactly what you mean by evolution, because there are many and sometimes contradictory views of what evolution is. But if it means that over time the bird gets kind of different spots by adapting to its environment, I don't see any problem with that. The only holdup, I would say, is that human beings need to descend from a common ancestor. We can't descend from different parents. This idea is called monogenism, that we all come from the same first couple, Adam and Eve. And the reason that's important is because without it, one cannot really make sense of the fallen nature of this world, of which is traditionally called original sin. If we don't inherit the sin of Adam, if sin is just a part of our nature, then that would mean that God has created something that is evil, and that is not possible. So that would create a problem. Or if human beings descended from multiple ancestors and not a common ancestor, the other problem with that is it would destroy human solidarity. And in a really modern political sense, the only coherent argument against racism is human solidarity, the idea that we're all brothers, we're all cousins, we all come from a common ancestor. If you don't have that common ancestor, then there's really no argument against racism or any other kind of evil that we find in the relations among humans. So that would be my caveat to that. Not an endorsement of any particular theory of creation, but most of them go along just fine with the religious account. All right, next question from Jonathan. Ben, do you believe it's morally acceptable to judge historical figures based on current social standards? I've heard the argument that we cannot judge people who owned slaves in this country because back then it was morally okay to do so. I don't agree with that at all. I still believe the slave owners are morally incorrect. What's your take? Well, there's a difference between a real active participation in evil and a passive participation in evil. And there are gradations of direct or indirect participation in evil. So if a man in the 18th century inherits slaves, and if a man is in an economy that is entirely dependent on slave labor, and in a political economy that is based on slave labor in large part, then is he morally obligated to immediately free the slaves? Well, it would be certainly financially irresponsible for him to do that. He might not even legally be totally allowed to, because he would ruin himself. He would go massively into debt. This would be an offense against creditors. He might wind up in jail for it. So there are lots of other things to consider. You think of someone like Washington, who on his death freed his slaves. Some would say maybe he should have freed them a little bit sooner, but he's born into a culture that has this evil as a part of it. And by the way, all of us have remote participations with evil. I imagine virtually all of us do, on a constant basis. You know, when we take a drug that was developed through stem cell lines derived from a baby's killed through an abortion, that is a somewhat remote, but nevertheless, it is a participation in evil. When we frequent a store that donates to Planned Parenthood, that is a remote, but nevertheless a participation in evil. When we pay our taxes to a government that then sends money to Planned Parenthood, that is frankly, even a little bit more direct, but still remote participation in evil. So are people going to judge us for that? You're damn right they are. When if you run a business, if your business partakes of direct policies or even insurance policies to participate in abortion or transgenderism or anything like that, you are participating in evil to some degree, and you will be judged for that. So I just think it's a little more nuanced. Furthermore, I don't think the issue here is judging people in the past by current standards so much as it's judging people in the past by objective standards while neglecting their social contexts. Because morality doesn't change. The moral order is objective, and it's outside of us, and it's not just relative, and it's not just socially constructed. So good and evil really do exist outside of whatever you and I think. But social context changes, and so I think that should condition the way that we think about historical figures and maybe have a little grace for certain historical figures if we want a little grace for us, because we are involved in lots of evil things in the modern world. From Xavier. Hey, Ben. This is more of a question for a Christian or a Catholic. Well, you're in luck because you got one today because Ben's out. I assume you can answer it, too, because of how knowledgeable you are. It's a fact that Christendom branched out of Judaism. I think you probably mean Christianity. My question is, why doesn't Christianity carry over some Jewish traditions, such as observing Passover or celebrating Hanukkah? I mean, Christian and Jewish history is technically shared up until the moment of the establishment of the church. Sure. The answer, it's a really, really good question. The answer is that it does. It really does. Actually, in Christ's Last Supper is a Passover Seder. And so when Christ says, you know, this is my body, he's holding up the bread, he says, this is my body, which will be given up for you. Eat this, you know, and do this in memory of me. And the same thing with the chalice of the wine. That not only is invoking a Passover Seder, that is actually taking place at a Passover Seder. And you see the bread and the wine, which become transubstantiated into the body and blood of Christ, in the Mass, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. You see what other celebrations? Hanukkah. I guess Hanukkah, we don't really do too much about Hanukkah, though I'm happy to eat some latkes. But you see so many of the Jewish traditions carried over into Christianity, but in a different way. You know, the holy day, the Sabbath, is now celebrated in light of the resurrection, because Christians do not view Christianity as a break with Judaism, but rather as the fulfillment of Judaism. And so the New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. The New Covenant is a fulfillment of the Old Covenant. Mary's womb, Mary herself, is the Ark of the New Covenant being in Christ. And so so that is all there, you know, and even Israel being brought into the New Israel, right? So that is all there. You wouldn't see it as a break at all. At least Christians wouldn't. Okay, next question up from Elizabeth. Ben, common argument against the right to own an AR-15 is that the Founding Fathers had no idea AR-15s would be a thing and that the Second Amendment was made for muskets. Yeah, right. Obviously, this is easily debunkable. Debunkable, I like that word. But a leftist rebuttal I can't get around is the claim that the Founding Fathers, especially Jefferson, apparently wanted the Constitution to be rewritten every 19 years, thus making the words in it not concrete. Is this true? How can we refute this claim? Thanks, and love the show. Well, that's easily debunked. First of all, Jefferson said all sorts of kooky things that are not binding as law. He was one of, if not the most radical of the Founding Fathers in terms of how much of a liberal he was. And so he says, yes, every so often the tree of liberty needs to be refreshed with the blood of patriots and tyrants. I don't want revolution every 19 years, but even if Jefferson were to be taken seriously on that, how do you think you're going to refresh that tree of liberty? He's assuming that all the people have guns and they can wage a revolution. So even by that kind of silly argument from the gun grabbers, it doesn't make the point they think it's making. It's actually making the opposite point. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention says several of the denomination's major entities are under investigation by the U.S. Department of Justice. Bill Alexander reports.
The SBC statement gave few details about the investigation, but indicated it dealt with sexual abuse. The SBC, the largest Protestant denomination in the United States, has been plagued by problems related to clergy sex abuse in recent years. Individually and collectively, each SBC entity is resolved to fully and completely cooperate with the investigation, the statement said. Earlier this year, an SBC task force released a blistering 288-page report from an outside consultant. The 7-month independent investigation found disturbing details about how denominational leaders mishandled sex abuse claims and mistreated victims. I'm Bill Alexander in Washington.
The House passes the Democrats' massive spending bill that they're referring to as the Inflation Reduction Act. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she believes the bill will change the lives of many Americans.
Today is really a glorious day for us. We send to the president's desk a monumental bill that will be truly for the people.
GOP Missouri Congressman Jason Smith says this is another big Democrat spending bill that will hurt Americans.
Democrats believe they can spend their way out of inflation and tax their way out of recession. It will only make the suffering Americans face today that much worse.
The legislation will not address out-of-control government spending. Author Salman Rushdie is on a ventilator after he was stabbed on stage at an event in New York. Alleged attacker Hadi Mater stabbed Rushdie several times, including once in the neck. A fatwa was placed on Rushdie decades ago after the release of his book, The Satanic Verses. This is SRN News.
Recent rulings from the Supreme Court didn't happen on their own. It took the support of companies like Patriot Mobile, who passionately fought on behalf of the unborn and your constitutional rights. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative mobile phone provider and have been on the front lines fighting for your values. Biden's inflation has made it really hard on many Americans. Thankfully, Patriot Mobile has plans for almost any budget, and they offer the same nationwide coverage as all the major carriers. You get the same great service, and your money is going to a company fighting for the sanctity of life, religious freedom, and the Second Amendment. Go to patriotmobile.com/Gorka or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation with offer code G-O-R-K-A. If you're a veteran or first responder, please tell them, because you'll get special discounts too. Join the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Gorka. That's patriotmobile.com/GORKA or call 972-PATRIOT.
A troubling sign that the U.S. economy may be in the grips of a recession. Bob Agnew reports.
The number of Americans who signed up for unemployment benefits rose last week to the highest level since November. The Labor Department says applications for jobless aid climbed by 14,000 and have now risen for 5 out of the last 6 weeks. The news comes even as the Biden economic team cites strong employment numbers as evidence the economy is not in a recession, despite the fact it meets the classic definition, 2 consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. Biden reporting.
Georgia U.S. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene's filing articles of impeachment against Attorney General Merrick Garland following the FBI search of former President Trump's home. The resolution stated that Garland's personal approval of the warrant constitutes a blatant attempt to persecute a political opponent. The now unsealed warrant claims Trump had top secret documents. Trump said the items were declassified and contained in a room with 2 locks per the government's request when they visited a while back. More at townhall.com. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser once again asking the Pentagon for National Guard troops to handle the illegal immigrant issue in the nation's capital. This as she referred to D.C. as a sanctuary city in the past. More on this from reporter Bernie Bennett.
Mayor Bowser renewed her request on Thursday for the D.C. National Guard to lend support to migrants arriving in the city after the Pentagon denied the request last week. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin turned down Bowser's initial request last week after determining that, quote, providing this support would negatively impact the readiness of the DCNG and have negative effects on the organization and members. The Democrat mayor's request was prompted by buses of migrants arriving in D.C. from Texas and Arizona, a program begun by Republican Governors Greg Abbott and Doug Ducey in protest of President Biden's border policies. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
In July, the U.S. set a record for overnight warmth, providing little relief from the day's sizzling heat for people, animals, plants, and the electric grid. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I am not Ben Shapiro. I'm Michael Knowles. Wonderful to be with you as always. You know how much I hate to say I told you so. I actually, in this case, do hate to say I told you so, because as this transgender madness has taken over the culture in recent years, I said very early on, I said, they're going to not just leave this with the adults, they're going to trans the kids. And as a result of transing the kids, you are going to see a lot of lawsuits, and kids are going to sue their parents, and they're going to sue doctors, and they're going to sue the government in some cases if the government is providing this kind of medical quackery. And it's just going to happen. I'm telling you this because this is a fad, and it's going to pass away because it's based on a false anthropology, because boys are not really girls and girls are not really boys. And that nothing is going to change that, no matter how many Tumblr posts say otherwise. And we're seeing that happen right now. So I covered on my own show, on the Michael Knowles show some months ago, the Tavistock Gender Clinic in the UK, which was committing all this kind of butchery on poor little kids. Well, here's the update. Here's the I told you so. The Tavistock Gender Clinic is facing a mass legal action from young people who say they were rushed into taking life-altering puberty blockers, in many cases drugs that they were told are reversible and have no side effects, and it's no big deal whatsoever. Now they're facing irreversible damage because of it, certainly psychological damage and physical damage as well. 1,000 families are expected to join this medical negligence lawsuit in the United Kingdom. This, I'm making another prediction now, this will be coming to the United States sooner rather than later. Here, to help me understand this, one of my absolute favorite voices in the public square, an expert not only on this gender madness, but also an expert on the motherland, the United Kingdom, my friend, Madeline Kearns. Maddie, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, Maddie, you know more about the UK than I do. And this is obviously going to be a little bit of a different situation that we have than we have in the United States, because the UK has socialized medicine, has the National Health Service, so the government is very much involved in pushing these kind of crazy transgender surgeries and treatments on kids. What does this look like from the medical and the legal point of view?
Sure. So this lawsuit came off the back of an independent review that came out about a month ago. There was a lot of criticism and a lot of scrutiny of this gender clinic in the mainstream media, believe it or not, because in the United Kingdom, we don't have the culture wars. So it's the radical left versus the more moderate left.
Yeah.
And the more moderate left have been the ones sounding the alarm about some of this stuff. And so there was this independent review. It was conducted by a pediatrician that pointed out all the massive failures and recklessness of this gender clinic. Nothing that would surprise us, of course. They weren't doing follow-up. They weren't being transparent. They were ignoring blatant mental health concerns. A lot of these kids were coming from families where there was a history of abuse, where they had other issues before their gender dysphoria, or in some cases, they were just rushed through it after some kids at school decided they were trans and they thought that was trendy. And so there were all these glaring things that this report revealed. And actually, under a lot of pressure, the government decided to close the clinic. So that was the other big news from this week, is the clinic was closed down. And what they're going to do now is they're going to refer children with gender dysphoria to hospitals where mental health will be the focus. So again, that's what everybody who's being skeptical of this movement has been saying from the beginning. Yeah. Look, if a kid is disassociating from their sex, and that's a serious thing and not just a social contagion that needs to be just sort of left alone.
Swatted away,
then,
right.
Right, exactly. But if they have sort of some sort of psychological trauma, it's the psychological trauma you should be treating, not changing their body to some gender Frankenstein. And of course, this is the vindication, I think, is that, as you say, we have been warning about the damage, and now all of these families, now the clinic's been closed, it's a little bit too little too late for them. they're coming forward and saying that they want compensation for what's happened to them. Especially now the government has pretty much admitted, yeah, we shouldn't have been doing this. This was reckless. So it's a promising sign, certainly for people pushing against trans extremism in the UK. But as you mentioned, it's not here in America yet.
It's not here in America yet. And the one reason I wonder if it will make it, my only sort of caveat here on my prediction, is that crucial point that you observed. The clinic closed down. The Tavistock Clinic was shut down by the government, which seems to be an acknowledgement that what they were doing was wrong. It's sort of how when Hollywood stars or politicians get caught in a scandal, they often can survive it as long as they don't admit that they did anything wrong. There's an old New York kind of Italian-American expression, which is deny till you die, whatever it is, no matter what the evidence, you just deny and you'll make it through. But the moment that you acknowledge that you may have done something wrong, Kevin Spacey, you know, or any of the other Me Too people, the minute they acknowledge something, then there's blood in the water and then the people pounce on them. My only fear is here you've got the American gender clinics doubling down. For goodness sakes, you have one in Tennessee. There's one right in my own backyard in Tennessee, a pediatric gender clinic. You just saw one in Boston. The Boston Children's Hospital is now promoting hysterectomies for young girls, for the kids. And so they seem to be getting even more aggressive on this. Does what's happening in Tavistock create an incentive for all of these people to just turn the transing the kids up to 11?
Well, you're quite right to note those differences. And the other one I would add, of course, is the government support here in America. The Biden administration has been very pro-trans in basically every way. And you had Rachel, formerly Richard Levine, over at HHS saying that we need to expand access to so-called gender-affirming care. So there's no signs of them stopping that anytime soon. So that's one reason not to be so hopeful that it will happen here. But to your point as well, you are really seeing the American gender clinics growing in number, growing in aggression, just also in sheer brazenness. I mean, that clip you're referring to of the doctor at the Boston Children's Hospital saying, yeah, come here if you want to have perfectly functioning body parts removed, if you want to have your ovaries removed at whatever age she's talking about. I mean, this is a level of shamelessness that we didn't even see in the UK, even at its peak.
So you mentioned in the UK there really is no right wing. It's just a kind of, you know, maybe occasionally you get Nigel Farage smoking a cigar, making really excellent points. But broadly speaking, you've got the left wing and then you've got the Tories, who are just kind of moderate left wing. And there's no, and yet the UK seems to have started to take a more sensible view on transgenderism. So what is it? How is it that I even think about this on the abortion issue. France is about as left-wing a country as they come. The very word, the left in politics, comes from the French Revolution. And yet France has, for a very long time, had much more sensible and conservative abortion laws than the United States did. So what is it about these lefties in Europe that seems to give them a little more common sense on some of the social issues than the Americans?
Well, I think part of it is that because they aren't meaningfully challenged, they don't really have to wrestle with some of the contradictions of their positions. So, for example, in the case of abortion, they can sit in this comfortable middle territory of, yeah, somewhere around 15 weeks, we'll just draw the line there. If those premises are tested and you carry it to your ideological consistent conclusion, you do end up with, well, why not up till birth? In fact, why not even after birth? What difference does it make?
Right.
So I think part of it is just a complacency, and it's explained by that. The other thing that I think is interesting, especially in psychiatry, I was talking about this with Paul McHugh, who headed Johns Hopkins University and was actually responsible for shutting down the transgender surgeries that were happening there in the late 70s.
Though previously, it's worth pointing out, Paul McHugh had been one of the pioneers of the gender surgery, and he shut it down because it wasn't achieving what they said it was going to achieve.
Yeah, it wasn't making people any happier, any better. So they reversed action. But what's interesting is he spent some time studying psychiatry in the UK as well. And he said that the tradition of British empiricism is something of a safeguard against some of these fads. So I don't know. I mean, certainly politically, I've noticed, Michael, that there's more fanaticism sometimes in America. I think the British are more eccentric. The Americans are more fanatic.
Yeah. That's a good distinction.
So there's that cultural difference. But I think it's also just it's the nature of medicine here. I mean, it is for profit. There has been something of a cowboy industry in the transgender realm. There's been sort of these cowboy clinicians who...
In the United States, you mean?
Yes, in the United States. Yeah, they set up their shop and they advertise and they bring people in. And there's not the same level of regulation and there's not the same level of oversight. Now, of course, in lots of contexts, as conservatives, we would say that's a good thing. But it should not give you license to do things that are medically negligent or just sheer abusive in this case.
It's a really good point, and it brings up another distinction, which is American conservatives have tended to support limited government, but often this has been perverted to mean that we support small government. And those are different things. There actually cannot be a small government in a country of 330 million people that manages a global empire. That's not going to happen. We have limited government because we want government to be within its just limits. And so, yes, we like free markets in a lot of circumstances, and we think that sometimes regulation can become onerous. But in some cases, we need more regulation. In some cases, the market is not going to solve every problem under the sun. It can be a good instrument, but it's an instrument toward human flourishing. You don't want to put the cart before the horse. I'm thinking of those stupid advertisements in the early 2000s. You couldn't turn on a TV show without the pharmaceutical companies trying to sell people depression pills on a theory that has essentially been discredited in the last 2 weeks, that your depression is caused by a chemical imbalance in your brain. And if you pop a little drug and give Big Pharma a tidy profit, then you'll finally be happy. And you think, these ads are running. It's complete quackery. An African shaman witch doctor would have better medical insight than these sorts of people. And that perhaps we need a little bit of regulation there. I don't know. Does that make me a commie or something?
I don't think so. I'm very much on the same page with you with that. And I think if you think of what happened in the UK with the gender clinic, the doctors there were ideologically motivated, but there wasn't a perverse financial incentive as well. It wasn't that not only were they going to feel righteous in this transgender cause, they were also going to make more money. It wasn't like that. That's not how the system was set up. Whereas one of the reasons I think it's even worse over here is you have that two-faced problem where you have not only are these people ideologically motivated, but they're getting rich in the process. So why would you not do it if you have both of those very human temptations?
Of course, that's such a great point, and it hadn't even really occurred to me that does create such a terrible, perverse incentive here, and it shows you the excesses of a kind of unbridled capitalism. Let's not forget, capitalism is a word popularized by Karl Marx, all right? So we like free markets, we like to be able to flourish and make some money, but not when we're in the process consuming, devouring even little children just to make a quick buck based on absolute quackery. Maddie, I realized I didn't even properly introduce you at the beginning. I only introduced you as one of my favorite voices out there. Maddie is a staff writer at National Review, visiting fellow at the Independent Women's Forum. And in the 10 seconds I have left, where else can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Madeline Cairns.
For now. That's what they can find you there for now, until this segment airs, in which case you'll be cast into the outer darkness of social media where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. But in the meantime, head on over there and follow Maddie. Maddie, thank you so much for coming on the show. We have got to take a quick break. Do not go anywhere. There's one place you can go. The one place you can go is on your app. You can subscribe to the Michael Knowles Show. You can order Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds. You can order Reasons to Vote for Democrats, a comprehensive guide. But then come right back. We have a lot more Ben Shapiro Show coming up.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Get the very best of summer with Black Bear Diner's refreshing summer menu, here for a limited time only. Start the day with sweet cream pancakes with fresh strawberries and lemon cream. Or grab a fresh berry chicken salad for lunch. Dig into blackberry burned barbecue ribs for dinner and end with a fresh strawberry lemon cream pie. Pair any of these with a triple berry citrus spritzer or a summer sangria and you're set for summer flavor. Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
BNT Satellite has you covered with a 2-year TV price guarantee from Dish. Great TV service, stable price, no surprises.
Don't call the 800 number.
Call 530-241-3474 or visit BT Satellite, your local premier Dish retailer today.
Monthly equipment fees and other restrictions apply. Recording hours vary. 2,000 hours based on SD programming. Remote viewing requires internet connection and compatible mobile device.
Axiom Children's Theater invites you to journey under the sea with Ariel and her aquatic friends in Disney's The Little Mermaid Jr. Adapted from Disney's Broadway production and motion picture featuring the enormously popular Academy Award-winning music and lyrics. Don't miss The Little Mermaid Jr., July 28th through the 30th at Axiom Repertory Theater, 2613 Bocelli Lane in Reading. Get your tickets now at the box office or online at axreftheater.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles. So great to be with all of you, especially with this crazy story. And I'm always thrilled to be on the show, and I get to hear from all of you in the mailbag, and I get to tell all of you to listen to my own show, The Michael Knowles Show, and buy Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds, my book, and to buy Reasons to Vote for Democrats, my blank book, which is proven truer and truer every day. I always love that, but especially I love it right now because we have a story of real political importance. This phrase, threat to our democracy, is bandied about a lot these days. But we are seeing one for real play out in real time right now, which is that the FBI, federal law enforcement agencies, have been sicked on the predecessor and chief political rival of the sitting president. And whatever you think about Trump and whatever you think about the classified documents and whatever you think about Biden, that presents an unprecedented kind of political action, and two, a real threat to the peaceful transfer of power and a real threat to our political order. That's the kind of stuff you see in tin pot dictatorships. That's the kind of stuff you see in banana republics, regardless of what party we're talking about here. I remember in 2016, you heard a lot of lock her up chants about Hillary Clinton. But Trump didn't lock her up. He didn't send federal law enforcement after Hillary Clinton. And by the way, it would have been much less egregious than what we're seeing right now if he had, because Hillary was not a former president, okay? Hillary Clinton really did not have any right whatsoever to have any of the classified material that she had on her home server. Hillary Clinton was not anymore the chief political rival to Donald Trump. She wasn't going to run again. Here, it's much more egregious. So from a political perspective now, people are reacting to this. There's a snap poll that just came out from Politico and Morning Consult, sampled a little over 2,000 registered voters. The question is whether or not voters approve of the FBI's decision to conduct a search warrant on former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida. 49% strongly or somewhat said yes. So, as you might expect, the country is split almost down the middle on this issue. 84% of Democrats, 47% of independents, and 15% of Republicans support the FBI raid on Trump. This is really important for Democrats right now to pay attention to. Yes, the majority of Democrats liked it that Democrats used federal law enforcement to go after Biden's chief rival. The majority of independents did not. And obviously, the vast majority of Republicans did not. The pollsters sampled that 3 in 4 voters had seen, read, or heard about the FBI's raid. 54% of the sampled believe Trump mishandled classified information. Others assume the raid was about January 6th or something else. These are important numbers, too, because you got 54% of people saying Trump probably mishandled the classified information, but that still would not be cause for the raid. And I think this is really, really important here. Regardless of what the Presidential Record Act says, the threshold for one party launching a raid on the home of the leader of the other party has got to be much, much higher than did he have some classified documents. One, the president has the right to declassify whatever documents he wants. So Trump could have declassified all these documents when he was president. And two, so many presidents have done this before. Barack Obama is currently doing this. Barack Obama is currently handling documents, millions of documents that he was supposed to turn over to the National Archives that he instead took to Chicago, ostensibly to digitize, even though he hasn't digitized them. LBJ did this. Richard Nixon did this. What are we going to do? Are we going to go raid Obama? Are we going to go raid Nixon, LBJ, raid their estates? No. The threshold has to be much higher. I thought this even about Hillary Clinton, for whom the threshold would be lower because she was only a Secretary of State. But I thought, you know, we don't want to be in a position in our country where we are throwing our political opponents in jail regularly, especially at the presidential level. And again, there are degrees here. If we're talking about dog catcher, okay, maybe we can send the dog catcher to the clink. If we're talking about a congressman, hey, even maybe we could do that, send a congressman to the clink. U.S. Senator, now it's getting a little bit more serious. Certainly a vice president or a president of the United States, the threshold has to be much higher. Because it's not just about the text of the Presidential Records Act. It's not even about the way it's historically enforced. It's about the stability of our political order. What does Trump say? He says, these are dark times for our nation as my beautiful home, Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida, is currently under siege, raided, and occupied by a large group of FBI agents. After working and cooperating with the relevant government agencies, this unannounced raid on my home was completely unnecessary. 63% of Republicans, according to the poll, believe this abuse of power should be investigated. 62% of Democrats say otherwise. So again, you've got an almost even split here among the Democrats and the Republicans. And the other political consequence of this is it has made people rally around Trump. Okay. 58% of Republicans who were surveyed in this poll, post-raid, snap poll, believe Trump should be the nominee in 2024. That is a 5 percentage point increase from 2 months ago. So if the Democrats hoped that sicking these guys on Trump and raiding his home was going to kill Trump's chances in 2024, it actually had the opposite effect. And you have heard people from the swamp say this. It was a spectacular backfire of a raid. And you see this now. There are other good candidates for 24. There's no question about it. Ron DeSantis has positioned himself as a great candidate. I think Senator Cruz would be a very strong candidate. I think, obviously, Tim Scott is trying to run for president. I think Nikki Haley wants to run for president. I think there are a lot of other people who are positioning themselves. I think there is no question, whether you love Trump or whether you hate Trump, I think there is no question, after this raid, Trump just became much stronger as a 2024 nominee. I'm Michael Knowles. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, Pasta, and More, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steaks
salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Join the Cascade Theater on August 21st for one of the finest in-demand rock and roll ensembles working today, Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real. Lucas Nelson and POTR have wowed audiences and won fans with their fiery stage performances and singular sounds, which smoothly straddles rock and roll, country, soul, folk, and R&B. This will be a night you won't forget. Purchase tickets at CascadeTheater.org or 243-8877 for a night of a lifetime with Lucas Nelson and POTR on August 21st at the Cascade Theater.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles. Wonderful to be with you. As always, you can catch my show over on the Michael Knowles Show podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, YouTube, MySpace, I don't know, anywhere on the radio, you can catch it. You can also get my book. I usually plug my book with words, Speechless, but today, given all that the Biden administration is doing, I'd like to plug my true magnum opus, my first book, no words in it whatsoever, called Reasons to Vote for Democrats, a comprehensive guide, number one national bestseller. You can get that wherever fine blank paper is sold. The libs are canceling all the stuff that we love. They're canceling a lot of great stuff, now to include Mount Rushmore. Jalen Rose, who I am told is a former basketball player and a commentator on ESPN. Jalen Rose is the one who is leading the effort to cancel one of the national symbols with some of our greatest presidents. Mount Rushmore is canceled.
To challenge myself and to challenge you to do something. Can we retire using Mount Rushmore? That should be offensive to all of us, especially Native Americans, indigenous people, who were the first people here before Christopher Columbus. That land was stolen from them when it was discovered that it contained gold. And 25 years later, to add insult to injury, four American presidents were put on what we call Mount Rushmore.
There it is, and that's why, because, you see, the Americans stole the land that Mount Rushmore finds itself on from the Indians. Now, this is where the story gets a little complicated, you see, because the Americans made a kind of deal. There have been all sorts of treaties with the Indians, but specifically with the Lakota Sioux. But the Lakota Sioux, it's not like they just sprung up out of the earth on Mount Rushmore. They actually hadn't occupied the land for all that long. The Lakota Sioux had only occupied the land since 1776 when they conquered the Cheyenne Indians who previously had occupied Mount Rushmore. Then the Lakota Sioux come in there, and then the Americans come in and take it. But now we're supposed to return it to the Lakota Sioux. What about the poor Cheyenne Indians? It's not even just the Cheyenne and the Lakota. The Arapahos have claims to Mount Rushmore. The Kiowas, the Kiowa Apache, there are probably some other groups. Two, I suspect this basketball player is not familiar with that. I'm not all that familiar with basketball. That's why I had to invite my friends Jake Crane and David Cohn onto the show. These are two of the three hosts of the Daily Wire's own sports podcast, Crane and Company. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us, Michael. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's always love to come on and talk a little sports with you, Michael. You know how we get down over here.
So, guys, this is what really drew me to this. I couldn't possibly care less about this person, Jalen Rose, or the NBA or anything like it. But he's making historical claims. He's besmirching my main man, Christopher Columbus, albeit in a basically incoherent way. And he's trying to cancel Mount Rushmore, which is probably the most prominent symbol of American history that we've got. What do you think of the basis of his claims?
Well, what I was telling Jake on our show yesterday is 10 years ago, we could have rolled our eyes and saved our breath here, Michael, because lunacy was sort of kept at the fringes, right? But now, I mean, this anti-American sentiment has just become so mainstream that we feel it necessary to mock this. I mean, as you know, there are a few different games here being played. One is, you know, certain groups of people are allowed to be offended, but if we call that out, then all of a sudden that we are whining and we are crying. Now, as it relates to Jalen Rose, what's interesting, Michael, is that this is a person who built his entire brand on being a trash talker who's now being offended. And then you hit the nail on the head as it relates to the claims of the land. You know, too often I feel like people talk about Native Americans as one large group rather than individual tribes who did conquer the land from one another. And look, what I tell people is I was born in 1987. You know, Thomas Sowell actually had a great quote recently, Michael, which is, you know, certain groups of people now are being held responsible for the actions of their ancestors when other groups of people aren't being held responsible for their own actions. That I can't abide.
Well, no, go ahead, Michael. Go ahead.
No, please.
Well, and my thing is this. All right. Well, if that's your point, then I guess, you know, we can play that game. I can get offended about anything. So the NBA and basketball in general was started by a guy named James Naismith, an American who's obviously born and lived on stolen land. So we need to cancel basketball, the whole thing that gave Jalen Rose his career. And I'll do you one better. ESPN was started in Bristol, Connecticut, definitely on stolen land. Why can't we cancel ESPN? So basically, if we follow Jalen Rose's own logic, Jalen Rose would be unemployed and homeless because where he works and who he's worked for is so offensive. It's on stolen land, Michael. Why am I here right now? I mean, I'm sitting on stolen land. I mean, it's funny. For a guy that has all the real estate in the world, is that stolen land? You stole it from the people that stole it, so are you a thief? It just doesn't make sense.
My ancestors are Italian, but even Italy, that's stolen land. What about those poor Etruscans? You know, I think we need Etruscan rights, Etruscan reparations right now. You mentioned ESPN. That's what I want to know about. I want to know about the ESPN of it all, because it seems to me these days a job requirement on ESPN is you have to be an insufferable leftist. And when people tune in and all they want, they just want to catch up on what happened in the game or get maybe a little sports analysis, and then what happens? They just get bombarded with some stupid woke message. I the only sport I really like is baseball, and so I'd occasionally tune into ESPN for baseball. That ended long ago. I just can't take it anymore. Plug here. Obviously, if I want some good sports commentary, I'm going to tune into Crane and Company here on the Daily Wire.
Thank you.
But what I want to know from the ESPN perspective, speaking of trash talking, is this ESPN reacting to an organic movement to the left among players, at least, if not fans? Or is this ESPN pushing this top down? You know, the network executive saying, we want leftism here, and if the players, the commentators, or certainly the audience don't want it, too bad. That's what we're going to push.
Yeah, well, if you look, it all goes back to Disney. I mean, all these people are swimming in the same circle if you just follow the money and who owns what. But it's just like anything. And the sad part is, you know, if you have any sort of diverse opinion there, you look at what happened to Sage Steele, you look at Michelle Tafoya, people like that have basically had to leave because they don't believe in the leftist ideology, or they don't want to use their platform to shove political narratives down people's throat. You know, Michael, we say this all the time, and that's why I think, you know, the show's doing well and people enjoy it, is because while we may have opinions on some things, we really don't get political. We want to talk about the game last night. Yep. We want to talk about the offense that the Ravens are running. Shout out Matt Walsh. We want to talk about the things that actually go on in sports, and sometimes when it intersects with politics, whether it's the Leah Thomas situation or something like that, you need to opine. But the problem is, when you only see from one view, when you only have one prism and you don't care, ESPN used to be about the audience. Yep. I remember growing up as a kid and watching SportsCenter reruns three times before I went to school, and watching that and baseball tonight when I got home. But now it is nothing but another CNN that occasionally talks about sports. But I tell you what, every time I hear them doing something like this, I hear cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching in the back of my head, because they're pushing more people to Crane and Company, because there's a lot more people out there like us that actually care about diverse opinions and want to say what we really think, other than trying to shove a narrative down somebody's throat.
And we hear from them, Michael. We hear from them. Every week, fans are writing into our show saying, I almost gave up on sports. Mm-hmm. I almost gave up on sports until I heard your show. And we're not trying to be, certainly ESPN, this is not the ESPN of our youth, and it is sad. Yeah. We're not trying to be the antithesis of that, but we do feel the need to talk about some of these issues when they come up. And since you mentioned Italians, that bit that I was running by you yesterday in terms of the Fab Five, which is what Jalen Rose is most known for, I said, look, we must cancel the term Fab Five. You know, I find it deeply offensive. I mean, first of all, Fab is a three-letter F word, which is problematic.
You can't do that.
And it's from the Latin fabula, Michael, which is, you know, that is culturally appropriating the indigenous Italian.
Disgusting.
I know. You know, I see it. I sound like Tony Soprano. But this is anti-Italian discrimination everywhere. No one ever talks about us. If everyone's going to be a victim, I want to cash in on that too. Or we can take an alternative tack, which obviously is what you guys have done over on Crane and Co. And it's already very successful, and I know it's going to be more successful the more that I see this nonsense from ESPN commentators like Jalen Rose. You know what I think? I think if there were to be a Mount Rushmore of sports commentary, gentlemen, I think your heads someday will be on it.
Thank you, Michael.
On that flattery, I've got to take a quick
check
break
in the mail.
Yeah, gentlemen, thanks for coming on. Jake Crane, David Cohn. The show is Crane and Co. We got to take a break. I'm Michael Knowles. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Do not go anywhere.
Hey everyone, Kevin Cry here. I'd like to invite you to listen to my new radio show every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. We'll be talking about everything Shasta County, family, work, recreation, and the topics most important to all of us living here in the Great North State.
We'll have roundtable discussions and different guests every week to share with all of you what is going on in Shasta County. Join me, Kevin Cry, every Tuesday right here from 6 to 7 p.m. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join us Monday as we welcome Susan Wilson and the Reading Police Department, and the topics will include hate crimes in Shasta County. Is this a problem? If so, what can we do about it? All of this Monday and much more. Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles. Am I now just the permanent host of this show? I don't know. I'm filling in a whole lot. That's okay. Ben needs a break, and I really enjoy it because I get to hear from all of you in Ben's mailbag. Question from Delilah. Hey, Ben, if you could have one politician thrown out of their position, who would it be? You only have one choice, though, so choose wisely. Thanks, Delilah. Delilah, you sweet summer child. It's such a simple question.
Dr. Fauci.
There's no question about that. I would not pick some random Democrat. I would not pick some random congressman or president or something like that. I would throw out the people who remain in office for a longer period of time and who wield power in ways that are frequently unaccountable, even more than the Supreme Court. The libs on the Supreme Court would be one option, but I'd pick the guy who shut down the whole world for 2 years, more than 2 years. That would be Dr. Fauci. And I'd really probably just abolish his position and spread his position out among different other people, because the guy had way too much power and he had far too little scrutiny on what he was doing, and he was corrupt and he was a liar. That's what I would do. I'd boot Fauci and banish that little Napoleon to St. Helena, where he can't wreak any more havoc on the rest of us. Next question from Ben. Ben says, hey, Ben, do you know of any archaeology that proves any stories of the Old Testament? I heard a few years back they found Egyptian chariots in the bottom of the Red Sea, which would have proven the Exodus story, but alas, turned out to be a hoax. I find it hard to believe things like the 10 plagues happened and the Egyptians wrote down no hieroglyphs, or a worldwide flood happened and only Abrahamic texts talk about that. Can you think of anything? Well, actually, that last part is just not true. There are, in virtually all of the creation stories around the world, you have some talk of a major flood, and most notably in Gilgamesh, the Epic of Gilgamesh. So that's not an Abrahamic text, but it talks about that, and there are others as well. There are, you know, I'm not familiar even with the Exodus idea that they found Egyptian chariots at the bottom of the Red Sea. We do frequently find archaeological evidence, certainly for references from the New Testament, which is what I focus on a little bit more than the Old Testament. You know, one of the issues that came about, especially in the last 150 or so years, is the historical critical approach to the Bible, which I think is really sort of silly. I don't think that's the most important way to approach it. If you ask me right now to read some modern history book or the Bible, and you ask me really at almost any part of the Bible which is more historically reliable, the answer will be the Bible, because we put way too much faith in modern history books. Read Howard Zinn and look at the adulation that Howard Zinn receives as an historian, and then tell me that modern history is more reliable than ancient history. That's just not true. But furthermore, the Bible does contain genre, and the Bible does contain all sorts of genre that are not historical. And this would, of course, make sense, because the Bible is the greatest, truest book that has ever been written. And so it has to contain poetry, and it has to contain parable, and it has to contain all sorts of genre beyond just sort of silly history. You know, here, fact, 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 fact. There is a lot of fact. I mean, the New Testament is essentially journalism, but there are other genre as well. Next question from Josiah. Ben, considering the fact that Biden has gotten COVID twice, has dementia, and now apparently self-diagnosed himself with cancer, do you think he will make it to the end of his term? Thanks. I don't know, but if I were a gambling man, yes, I think he will. And the only reason I'm saying that, wouldn't bet the farm on it, but the reason I would say that is that Joe Biden really, really, really likes being president. The man has wanted to be president since he was in the womb, okay? And he's been running for president since the 80s, and he's been so dogged about it that he finally got it. He's not the brightest bulb in the pack. No one's ever accused him of that. He's not the most courageous. He's just a backslapping, simpering politician. And the guy just really, really, the only thing he has ever wanted in life is to be president. And so I could see him hanging on for that. Next question from John. Hey, Ben, I'm not very political, but I'm very capitalist, so I gladly subscribe to you. With that being said, I'm a 19-year-old who really wants to be financially successful. Do you have any financial advice to help me achieve this goal? Should I start investing? Should I start saving? Thanks from your anti-communist fan, John. Yes, here's my advice, and I think Ben would agree with this, because it's been the business model of the Daily Wire since day one. Make $1 more than you spend. That's my advice. It's really basic advice, but be frugal, especially when we're talking about depreciating assets. Don't go out there right away and buy the nice fancy car or the fancy clothing. Be frugal on those kinds of things. Do invest in yourself in a responsible way. Be productive and work a lot. Ben would certainly, I mean, the guy, I've been joking about how he's going on vacation now and I'm doing his job, but the guy works like an absolute dog. The guy has been working like a hound every second that I've known him. And I hate to give him a compliment. Please don't tell Ben that I've complimented him on his radio show. But it actually is an inspiration, because he has shown me something that I have since seen in a lot of other people. No one at the top doesn't work a lot. People who make it to the top work a lot, okay? And one nice thing about when you're working a lot is that you don't have a ton of time to just fritter away on kind of pleasures, because I've noticed you're either making money or you're spending money. And sometimes to make money, you do have to spend money, but you're either going to be at the office or writing or working or doing your job, or you're going to be at the bar, or you're going to be at the amusement park, or you're going to be on a beach somewhere. So I would do all of that. I would invest in, not in totally risky assets. You know, I would invest in a way that's fairly conservative, and I would just keep plugging away at that. You know, they say time in the market is always better than timing the market. So just investing your money in the market over time is going to grow your wealth much better than trying to pick the perfect moment to put all of your cash in. And that's true of your work life as well, even more than the stock market. It's true of just the more you are working, the more consistently you are working, the more likely you are to grow wealth. And frankly, even more importantly than that, to better yourself. All right. Next question from Ashley. Hey, Ben, a common line I hear from pro-choicers is that the pro-life crowd is only pro-life up until birth. After that, they don't care about life at all because they hate social services. What's your take? Yeah, it's not true, but it's also just a distraction. Because you say, okay, I want to talk about this topic. We're going to have this debate. Should it be legal to kill babies in the womb? And they'll say, you don't even want to fund a welfare program. You say, well, maybe I do, maybe I don't, but that's a separate topic. Yeah, you don't like this government agency in this city that gives money out. Yeah, okay, maybe I do, maybe I don't. But can we just get to the topic here? This is a discrete, single issue. Should we or should we not be allowed to kill babies in the womb? And that basically they say, la, 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 I can't hear you. I want to talk about something else. Beyond that, study after study shows, this has even been reported in the New York Times, conservatives give much more money to charity than the liberals do. Conservatives are more likely to support things like adoption than the liberals are. So that's just absurd. And conservatives, by the way, are perfectly happy. I'll at least speak for myself. I'm perfectly happy to support government programs that actually do help people in a way that is effective and efficient and still is not particularly open to corruption and is more likely to be controlled at the local level. I'm totally fine with that. I have no problem with that whatsoever. What I oppose is government corruption and sending my money to be frittered away by crooked bureaucrats. Ronald Reagan made this point in his probably most famous speech, one of his most famous speeches, A Time for Choosing, when he pointed out that the amount of money that was being spent on welfare was several thousands of dollars per American child, and they weren't getting a good return on that investment. He said, for the amount of money we're spending on welfare, we could send each of these kids not to some crappy public school in the ghetto, we could send them all to Harvard for that amount of money. So that would be a tactical reason to oppose that, not just because conservatives are greedy or anything like that. All of the facts suggest that's actually the opposite of reality. From Corey. Hey, Ben, as you know, racial activism groups like BLM are very trendy right now. I know many people think these groups started because of or under Trump, but I've heard others blame Obama due to his rhetoric. What say you? Well, it's just a simple historical fact. They started under Obama. They did. BLM began after the killing of Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown. And I blame Obama in part for that because when you're talking about the killing of Trayvon Martin, he said, if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin. Why? Because he was black and Obama was half black. That's why he would look. Well, I don't know. Do all black people look alike, according to Barack Obama? What he was saying is this is an attack on me. This is an attack on all black people. This was a racist white person, the insinuation, and actually the reporting in some cases. A racist white person went out to hunt down a poor, innocent black teenager, and that's not what happened at all. It was actually a Hispanic guy on the neighborhood watch who went and was following this black teenager, but then they got into a real scuffle, and that you saw the Hispanic guy, George Zimmerman, had very serious injuries to his head, and so the situation was much more complicated. When it comes to Michael Brown, they said he was a gentle giant who didn't do anything wrong. That really launched the BLM movement, and it was just a total lie. Michael Brown was a thug criminal who just knocked over a convenience store and would still be alive today had he not antagonized a cop, grabbed the cop's gun. The gun goes off. You see this in the forensic evidence. You see this in all that from the eyewitnesses of all races presented to the grand jury. And then in that scuffle, the cop shot Michael Brown in self-defense. This was not in any way a hands up, don't shoot. That was just completely made up. And Obama fanned the flames of that kinds of stuff. You even saw it beyond the officer involved shootings. You saw this in the case of Henry Louis Gates, where Obama attacked the cops because there was some confusion in Cambridge by Harvard, where a black professor was breaking into his own home, and it looked like he was breaking into someone else's home. And Obama got involved in that. So he was constantly fanning the flames of racial resentment. Who do you blame? I blame Obama. I'm Michael Knowles. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The Alliance Defending Freedom claims a victory for religious freedom.
The Christian legal firm had sued the Department of Agriculture because the Biden administration had threatened to take away children's lunches because they went to a Christian school. ADF said Grand Park Christian Academy in Tampa, Florida, was entitled to exemption from Title IX rules because of its religious beliefs, something not granted to charter or public schools. Under federal mandates of Title IX, the school would have had to have substituted gender identity for biological sex in any aspect of its activities, including bathroom and locker room use. Keith Peters reporting.
President Biden will reportedly meet with the president of China in November. The Wall Street Journal says Chinese officials are working on Xi Jinping's first international trip in almost 3 years. Still no word on the condition of author Salman Rushdie, who was stabbed during a talk in upstate New York. Correspondent Joshua Goodman, who was in the audience when Rushdie was attacked, reports the author was assaulted before a lecture.
There were about 2,500 people waiting to hear Salman Rushdie speak. He had just walked onto the stage, was still being introduced less than a minute before the event began, and a man rushed from this audience up onto the stage and started punching or stabbing. It wasn't quite clear, but there was clearly some sort of blood or red liquid going in many directions.
A Spirit Airlines agent is on suspension over a fight at DFW Airport in Dallas that went viral. The online video shows a Latino woman yelling at the black airline agent, calling him homosexual and racial slurs before she's seen hitting him. At that point, the agent is seen tackling the woman and hitting her before other men pull him away. A Spirit spokesperson said that they do not tolerate violence. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
At Progressive, we know there's nothing like the feeling of riding your motorcycle with your buddies on the open road. It's a potent cocktail of thrills, laughter, and pure adrenaline. A feeling that would be impossible to recreate on the radio. Until now. Hit it, sound effects guy!
Real proud of you, son.
Well, that was terrible. Our apologies for even trying. Quote with Progressive and see if you could save with America's number one motorcycle insurer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
If you think it's been a hot summer, you have some company.
The continental United States in July set a record for overnight warmth, providing little relief from the day's sizzling heat for people, animals, plants, and the electric grid. The average low temperature for the lower 48 states in July was 63.6 degrees, which beats the previous record set in 2011 by a few hundredths of a degree. Keith Peters reporting.
A man charged with sexual assault in Texas is dead after drinking out of a bottle in court. Edward LeClaire was charged with 5 counts of child sexual assault by the Texas court. When the guilty verdict was read, LeClaire started drinking what looked to be water in a plastic bottle. He got sick in a cell while awaiting sentencing. An hour later, he was dead. The county medical examiner will determine the official cause of death. More details at townhall.com. A man who was cussed at by Beto O'Rourke, gubernatorial candidate in Texas, after he laughed at the Democrat, is speaking out. Ron Warren tells the Mineral Wells Area News that he obviously was not laughing about the Uvalde school shooting, but rather Beto's ignorance about firearms. At one point, Beto got down on one knee and pretended that he was shooting a rifle. Warren owns a firearm store near Dallas. He says O'Rourke was low on facts where guns are concerned. Well, California should invest tens of billions of dollars in water recycling, storage, and desalination over the next 2 decades to shore up its supply as the state gets drier and hotter. That according to California Governor Gavin Newsom. He says the water supply in California is at severe risk. The Democratic governor discussed the proposal at a construction site at a plant that removes salts from river water. Get more on these stories at townhall.com.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm not Ben Shapiro. I'm Michael Knowles. Wonderful to be with you as always, as we just slide down that slippery slope toward decadence and decay. I am glad to be along for the ride with all of you. We see the evidence of social decay and collapse all over the place. We've talked a lot about transing the kids. We've talked a lot about the collapse of faith in our institutions. I want to talk about Cracker Barrel, okay? Cracker Barrel, I love Cracker Barrel. I think it's a great restaurant and country store. And the other day, I saw an advertisement from Cracker Barrel that I could not believe. Cracker Barrel was offering a non-meat sausage, an impossible sausage. And I thought, not one single person who has ever walked into Cracker Barrel has wanted a non-meat sausage. Not one vegetarian, not one vegan, not one nothing has ever. I said, where on earth? This is obviously not in response to consumer demand. Where did they get this from? I said, I know where they got this from. Because my friend Vivek Ramaswamy has been talking about this a lot. Institutional investors are pushing their woke agenda on all the companies that they invest in. I said, let me just look up. I want to know the biggest investors in Cracker Barrel. Because, you know, one of the great offenders on the ESG movement, this woke investing movement, has been BlackRock. They've been in the news a lot. I said, let me Google. And there it is. One of the top two institutional investors in Cracker Barrel is BlackRock. Now, that's it. I'm not saying I have any other evidence that BlackRock is shipping fake meat to Cracker Barrel, but that's my conclusion. It's wokeness being pushed, not from the people, but being pushed from the highest echelons of high finance. Here to help me understand what ESG means for our culture is that very same friend, Vivek Ramaswamy, co-founder and executive chairman of Strive Asset Management, New York Times bestselling author, and the author of the forthcoming book, Nation of Victims, Identity Politics, The Death of Merit, and The Path Back to Excellence. Vivek, first of all, thank you for coming on the show. Second of all, am I a crazy conspiracy theory on my BlackRock ESG fake meat Cracker Barrel observations?
You know, I don't think you're a crazy conspiracy theorist, Michael, but I think that it's a cultural tone that's broader than any given mandate to a given company.
Agree.
All right. So, you know, actually funny, it's funny you bring up the vegetarian point. I'm a vegetarian. I actually wrote an op-ed right. in the Wall Street Journal in February 2020, back when I was a biotech CEO, saying that, look, I'm vegetarian. I don't mandate vegetarianism at our company events. We offer vegetarian options. We offer nut-free options. But we do it because that might be what employees who come to company events want, yeah. not because I'm foisting my morality using corporate power to do it. And that was actually the first of a series of articles that I began writing that led to my books, that led to the new business. But the reality is, if you look at who are the top shareholders of Disney, right? You talked about transing the kids is one of the things you mentioned in that intro. The top shareholders of Disney are BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard.
Yeah.
And they set a cultural tone through the mandates that they deliver to some sectors, like the U.S. energy sector. Some proposals that BlackRock will vote in favor of, like the racial equity audit proposal at Apple, which the management team of Apple recommended against, but BlackRock forced upon Apple. And then what happens is the rest of corporate America takes notice. They understand the cultural tone that's been set. These are what your shareholders want to see. And then they ultimately buckle and immediately get their activities in line, because at the end of the day, executive compensation depends on what your large shareholders say. Your ability to have your own board selected depends on being voted in favor of by those large shareholders. So it's not really like a conspiracy theory in the sense that it's a direct action every time, but they take enough prominent action and use the stick such that the rest of the companies know exactly how to fall in line. That's how the game's played.
Of course, because I actually should have pointed out that the number two investor in Cracker Barrel is BlackRock. The number one is Vanguard. And as you point out, it's Vanguard, State Street. Of course, this is true for so many of the companies. We know exactly where these investors stand, and the companies have fallen in line. So you alluded to it a little bit earlier. You have a new company to push back against this.
That's right. So this is Strive Asset Management, new company I founded. And actually, Michael, this was a big week. We actually listed our first exchange-traded fund on the New York Stock Exchange. I rang the bell on Wednesday afternoon, the closing bell, and right. I'm proud to say that this is actually, the New York Stock Exchange folks tell us, one of the most successful ETF launches of the year, actually in recent years. The ticker is DRLL, Drill, and it is a U.S. energy index fund, where what it does that's different is it tells those U.S. energy companies, it mandates them as a shareholder, to drill, to frack, to produce more energy if that's what makes them most profitable over the long run, as I believe it is, without regard to any environmental, social, or other agendas. That is different than the message that BlackRock delivers. That is different than the State Street and the Vanguard message. It's different than the message that nearly any asset manager delivers to the U.S. energy sector. But the irony is that's actually contributed to massive underinvestment in energy production. It's resulted in systematic shortages of energy supply in the United States and around the world that actually create an economic opportunity for U.S. energy producers to fill that gap. But the irony is the large institutional shareholders of those firms have applied the handcuffs that prevent them from actually capturing that opportunity. So, Michael, it's not just the problem of using other people's money to represent views in corporate America's boardrooms that most of those other people disagree with, probably most of the viewers of this program, A, disagree with those social agendas, and B, have money invested in these institutions like BlackRock and Vanguard that are advancing these toxic political values. But it's also that that causes them to actually suffer economic damage when energy companies are less valuable and less successful because of those shareholder-imposed mandates. So I got sick of complaining. I wrote a couple of books. I write, you know, articles in the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere. I said, okay, I'm done talking about this. Now it's time to actually do something about it, which is why we launched our first fund. And hopefully this is just the beginning.
I love it. I love seeing people take the complaining and the criticism, all of which is, I think, legitimate in this case, and then actually doing something about it. It's something we here at the Daily Wire have been trying to do. We say we don't want to just comment on culture and complain about it. We actually want to build the culture. We want to offer children's programming. We want to offer new entertainment products. We want to offer razors when the subscription razor company attacks people for thinking boys and girls are different. You know, we're going to offer that direct-to-consumer product as well. So I really love what you're doing with Strive. We're also seeing pushback right now at the political level against ESG, actually against BlackRock specifically. There are a number of Republican state attorneys general that just informed BlackRock last week that its shareholder activism, all this ESG woke nonsense, may violate multiple state laws. So my question then is, if the companies don't like this stuff, if the consumers frequently don't like this stuff, if the state attorneys general don't like this stuff because they might be in violation of the laws, why on earth are Vanguard and BlackRock and State Street continuing to push it?
So the answer is actually a lot of their clients still do want them to push it. Big ones like CalPERS in the state of California or the state of New York. And what happened is the rest of their clients, red states, everyday citizens, got taken along for a ride, where CalPERS in New York would go in and say things like, presumably, we don't want to do business with a firm unless that firm adopts company-wide commitments, firm-wide commitments to abide by the Paris Climate Accords, to abide by net zero standards by 2050, to abide by racial equity proposals, et cetera. So what do they say? Okay, well, great. We'll get on that ESG train. You guys are the big clients. The small ones we're not going to pay attention to. But the small ones collectively actually are even bigger than the big ones. Huh. And I think that all of this was actually relatively recent, too. It's worth pointing that out, Michael. It was only in 2018 that BlackRock really started getting into this social values game, right? They got big in the early 2010s. They really started scaling big. And then in 2018, that's really when we saw that shift. So in the scheme of things, this is still relatively recent. It's only 4 years old. At the end of the day, there haven't yet been time for other market participants to step up and fill the void. That's the opportunity I saw. I wanted to found Strive, not just because I saw it as a business opportunity, though that was part of it, but because I think this can actually deliver a solution to the very problems I've been writing about for the last several years as a writer and as an author as well. I've been an entrepreneur before. I said, let's put the two together and solve the problem. So in a certain sense, I think it's what we're seeing right now is a problem that's in the process of being fixed. I can tell you firsthand from building this company, there are obstacles, okay? A lot of those bureaucrats in the states, even red states, are really reluctant to change their behaviors because, you know what, there's no upside for them. There's only risk in making a change they perceive. So it's going to take, actually, I think, the activation of the everyday citizen to say that, you know what, even if you're a state bureaucrat, guess what? It's not your money. It's my money in that pension fund. It's my money in that state treasury. And I think we need to get that managerial class, that bureaucratic class in government and in the states that have been captured by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard to remind them that they, too, are not investing their own money. They're investing the money of everyday citizens. It's the will of the everyday citizen and the interest of the everyday citizen that matters. And that's what Strive's mission is all about. So we started with making it really simple, right? list something on the New York Stock Exchange, anyone can buy it, DRLL, drill. And it's not just a matter of doing business with somebody whose values align with you. I mean, that's I'm not belittling that concept. I think that's really important. But I think above and beyond that, here in the asset management marketplace, you actually are sending a message with your shareholder power. So it's not just sending a message. As a shareholder, you actually have the power to direct the way companies behave. And so the way Strive offers to direct the way companies behave is to focus them exclusively on excellence over politics, exclusively on products for profit rather than social agendas or ESG agendas. And for people who want that vehicle, it now exists in the form of at least the Energy Sector Index Fund. And that's the first step of many in the coming months and years ahead. But I think that's what we're going to see is we're in the middle, in the early stages of delivering the solution. I think the solution is going to come through the market much sooner than it comes through our politics. But in a certain sense, states themselves, when states are talking about moving their money, that's not their capacity as a regulator. That's their capacity as a market actor, because the states actually manage pension funds of their own citizens' money. I think that's the next frontier of change we need to see. And I think it's going to take a productive and positive uprising of everyday citizens, like you saw in school boards over the course of the last year when it came to schools, to now see that with the pension fund system, to be able to sort of break the managerial class's dominance over managing everyday citizens' money.
That's a really important point, because it always drives me crazy. I will talk to conservatives and they'll say, I hate that Disney is going to trans the kids. I hate that they, I think one of the Disney executives said, I put my not so secret gay agenda into all of the kids' content, little tiny kids. And you think, okay, yeah, that's probably not great. And I say, so what are you doing about it? They say, well, I can't cancel my Disney Plus subscription. You know, my kid really likes Mickey Mouse or whatever. And you say, so you're supporting it. You're part of the problem. And I love that you're observing this in even sometimes red states where you'll say, okay, you oppose this wokeness, you oppose ESG. Great, I've got an alternative here that you can invest in. We're talking about pension funds. Maybe we're talking about endowments at certain universities or wherever. And they say, I'm sticking with Vanguard or I'm sticking with BlackRock. And you say, well, how about you put your money and the money of your clients and your constituents in some cases, where all of our mouths are. I've only got about 30 seconds left, but how are we going to move that inertia? How are we going to get
I'll close with a short anecdote that may make your blood boil. But anyway, it's interesting. I was talking to one state. So there was a publicly elected official that reached out and said, hey, I want to learn more about what you guys are doing. Got the executive director of the state pension fund. But then the person who joined was a member of the investment staff who wasn't invited to the call, who actually started blockading everything and said, you know what? I'm worried by bringing up these issues, you're going to put our executive director in the line of fire when we just want to stay away from it.
Yep.
So I said, okay, where are your money being managed today? It's none other than a bunch of asset managers that are ESG-linked asset managers that are imposing these political agendas that most of their citizens didn't want to see in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect example of how a member of the bureaucratic class is trying to seize power from the politically accountable class. The politically accountable class is actually waking up because their citizens are telling them, we're going to put you out of your job and vote you out of office if you don't actually represent our interests. But it's that bureaucratic hired managerial layer that I think everyday citizens are going to really have to put the politically accountable class in charge, governors, treasurers.
Such a great point.
Attorneys general, that's what we're going to have to see.
That's such a great point, because
early stages.
The market will react, and even the politicians, they will react because they rely on their constituents for their jobs. But you got to get past that desiccated, technocratic managerial class. Vivek, wonderful to be with you as always. DRLL, I'm Michael Knowles. Strive is the name of the company. This is the Bench Bureau.
While temperatures are heating up outside, cool down as you stroll through Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. If you're searching for a unique gift for a wedding, anniversary, or special occasion, Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage may have exactly what you're looking for. They have tumblers, goblets, plates, teacups and saucers, silverware, jewelry and jewelry boxes, necklaces, earrings, elegant pins, rings, cufflinks, and more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So, what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world: family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm not Ben Shapiro. I'm Michael Knowles. You can catch me on the Michael Knowles Show podcast. That is Knowles spelled just like Beyonce. To my knowledge, no relation. I'm not totally sure, though. That would be an awkward family reunion. You can find my book with words, Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds, and my book without words, Reasons to Vote for Democrats, a comprehensive guide proven truer and truer every day, especially after this unprecedented raid on President Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago. The plot thickens on the Mar-a-Lago raid. The sequence of events. 40 FBI agents show up at Mar-a-Lago. They raid Trump's house. There's not a lot of information at first. We're told that they were searching for some kinds of documents. We're told they were doing this because Trump violated the Presidential Records Act. Presidential Records Act says that the National Archives, rather, owns every piece of paper in the White House, and so Trump took some pieces of paper, and this is very, very bad, and the agents go to take it back. Now, that story didn't make a whole lot of sense because lots of presidents violate the Presidential Records Act. Barack Obama did that. Millions of records that he took to Chicago did not give straight to the National Archives, said that he was going to digitize them. Millions of documents, 5 years later, not a single one digitized. Richard Nixon violated it. LBJ violated it. So that doesn't seem to hold a lot of water. Even stranger, no one took responsibility for the raid. The FBI said it was the DOJ. The DOJ agent seemed to say it was the FBI. The White House said we had nothing to do with it. There were some rumors that the White House did have something to do with it. Finally, yesterday, Merrick Garland, the attorney general, comes out. He says, I made the call. I, at the DOJ, made the call to send the agents in, and I'm not going to tell you why. So he holds this whole press conference. He says it was really important. How dare you besmirch the integrity of me, Merrick Garland, and the DOJ and the FBI, you know, the same agencies that have been lying and cheating and colluding with Democrats for 6 years now to undermine Donald Trump. Yeah, how dare you attack our integrity? But I'm not going to tell you why we did this raid, but just trust me, it's really, really important. Okay, now you see a leaked report out of the Washington Post. Washington Post says, citing anonymous sources, of course, that it was because Donald Trump had nuclear secrets, classified information, and nuclear classified information. Okay. Donald Trump was the president of the United States. He had the right to declassify whatever he wanted, anything. And what nuclear information could it possibly be? What are they talking about? Trump has now responded. That's just to catch you up. Trump has now responded, and he has dismissed this all as a hoax. He says, quote, nuclear weapons issue is a hoax, just like Russia was a hoax, two impeachments were a hoax, the Mueller investigation was a hoax, and much more. Same sleazy people involved. Why wouldn't the FBI allow the inspection of areas at Mar-a-Lago with our lawyers or others present? Made them wait outside in the heat, wouldn't let them get even close. Said absolutely not. Planting information, anyone? Reminds me of a Christopher Steele dossier. Between these two claims here, the claim from Merrick Garland, very super serious Merrick Garland with his tie buttoned up, the law must be executed without favor for anyone. We've got to make sure that we have the rule of law. And he's a very, very serious swamp creature. And Donald Trump, who's a very eccentric creature. I trust Trump over the DOJ and the FBI for the reasons that Trump just laid out. The DOJ, the political hacks who run the DOJ and the FBI, have squandered their credibility. They squandered it on the Russia collusion hoax. They squandered it on Crossfire Hurricane when they colluded with the Hillary Clinton campaign and then actually fabricated evidence to present to a FISA court judge to get the license to spy on the Trump campaign, which they then denied. They said, we didn't spy on the Trump campaign. It turned out they did. And then they come back with the Mueller investigation, $32 million, multiple years. They get nothing. Then it's just attack after attack after attack. This is the same agency that hoaxed a plot to kidnap Democrat governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer. And people actually got off the hook because of this, because it was a total Fed setup. So they just don't have credibility anymore. And so if I'm asked, do I trust Merrick Garland or Donald Trump on this? I trust Trump. What do they even mean? Nuclear weapons. He didn't have a nuclear weapons at Mar-a-Lago. He didn't have, was it the nuclear codes? I have to change my Apple password every 6 months. I should hope that there's at least the same level of security that I have on my iPhone. I hope that there's the same level of security for America's nuclear weapons. And then why the raid? Why the raid? Because what they're saying in the Washington Post now is, if this is true, it's a big if my aunt had testicles, she'd be my uncle. If I had ham, I could have ham and eggs if I had some eggs. If this is true, it would suggest that the material residing unlawfully at Mar-a-Lago may have been classified at the highest level. That would lend itself to greater hair-on-fire motivation to recover that material as quickly as possible. Okay, Joe Biden's been president for 19 months. Where's the hair-on-fire motivation? The DOJ knew about these documents. They apparently saw the documents. They told Donald Trump, hey, make sure you put an extra padlock on the room with the documents. And it's just physical documents. How on earth were the documents even going to get out? Compared to, say, Hillary Clinton has digital documents on her email server. Hair on fire. Waiting 19 months to recover these documents that it's now being insinuated by the anonymous sources in the Washington Post, which is the Pravda bullhorn for the corrupt swamp. Now, this is urgent. It's a matter of urgent national security. Why'd you wait 19 months? Did they not know where the documents were? That suggests a level of incompetence that I guess we've come to expect. Really, I think probably if I were a gambling man, having lived through the last 6-7 years of DOJ, FBI hoaxes against Donald Trump, I'd put my money on Trump. I'm Michael Knowles. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReddingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Hey, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
25.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm not Ben Shapiro. I'm Michael Knowles. Wonderful to be with you as always. If you are listening to this show in your car right now and you are driving around Boston, I would recommend just keep an eye out through the windshield and the windows to avoid any fire and brimstone that might land on your city right now, because I think Boston has now reached full-on Sodom and Gomorrah-level status of decadence and abuse. New headline just came out from the Boston Children's Hospital. This is not even some undercover report. The Boston Children's Hospital is promoting it itself. The hospital is offering pediatric hysterectomies, gender-affirming, quote-unquote, womb removal for young women, for minors, because of the transgender craze. I always think, whenever we get to some story about, I don't know, a drag queen story hour, I think we've reached the bottom of the slippery slope. Then we get to one about how there's now drag queen story hour in, not in libraries, but in elementary schools. Now it's not just elementary schools, it's in preschools. Now you've got children, quote unquote, transitioning in elementary schools. Parents are not notified. I mean, every time I think I've reached the bottom of that slope, we somehow descend even further. Now we're talking about hysterectomies for minors. Here to help me make sense of that, if there's any sense to be made, Dr. Deborah So, author of The End of Gender and the host of the fittingly titled Deborah So podcast. Deborah, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for having me.
So I guess it's a failure of my own imagination. I keep thinking we've reached the end of this, and then they start cutting out the wombs of young girls. How is this legal? What is the scientific or medical argument for this? And I guess most importantly, how do we stop it?
Yeah, it's really devastating. And I have to say it speaks to the power of activists in this moment. And also I think how intimidated and scared medical professionals are, experts in the field, because they don't want to have their livelihoods ruined by activists who are pushing for this agenda. And they do face potentially serious consequences in some cases, having their licenses removed. You know, here in Canada, we have laws that criminalize any attempts at reconciling a child's gender and not advocating for affirmative therapy. So hysterectomy involves removing the uterus, removing the fallopian tubes, the cervix, which is the opening of the uterus, can potentially also involve removing the ovaries. And I do not believe that a young child, a minor, has the emotional maturity to make long-term, potentially permanent decisions about their fertility and their bodies. It's so inappropriate, and it's very upsetting to see this happening, but here we are. In terms of how to stop it, I mean, I wish there was more courage in the field, but people pay really, you know, in some cases, horrific consequences for speaking out against this.
But isn't the argument, I'll try to be devil's advocate here, and in this case, I think really that's the right title, devil's advocate. What they are saying is that transgenderism is real. Some men, people who look like men, are actually secretly girls. And so this causes a great deal of discomfort, and that's why their bodies need to be mutilated in some cases, or they need to go on hormones to look more like the gender or the sex that they feel like, and that this is not just a condition that comes on at age 25, but this is something that really is intrinsic to who you are. It's innate. And anyway, it's very difficult to bring the body in line with the perceived gender identity after puberty. And so we've really got to take all of these steps before puberty, because a kid who is castrated or sterilized or has her womb removed before puberty is more likely to resemble the opposite sex than they would be after puberty. And that's why we've got to trans the little kids. Isn't that's basically the argument they're making, right?
Right. And with the hysterectomy, it's usually done as a prophylaxis. So if a child is on testosterone for a number of years, there's a risk of endometrial cancer. So this is something that's done preemptively to prevent that, and also potentially infection that can occur. So yeah, there's a very common narrative that being trans or gender dysphoria has to do with having the wrong brain in your body or having the wrong body for your brain. In many cases, there is a lot of comorbidity. There are psychological issues in many cases. Studies have shown this for many people, especially with regard to this more recent spike we see in terms of young women and adolescent girls who are wanting to transition very quickly with no previous history of gender dysphoria. There is a lot of comorbidity and psychopathology. Many of them are lesbian and they're not comfortable with their sexuality. Many are on the autism spectrum. These are issues that are not being discussed in therapy. In many cases, there is no even therapy taking place before the decision to go down this path. It's not good in terms of long-term care. It's very much about, you know, listening to the patient and what they want in this exact moment. And that may or may not be what's in the best interest of them, especially not when it's a child.
Certainly. Of course. I was at a university. I was giving a speech on transgenderism, and a gal came up at the end and she said, "Hey, Michael, thanks for speaking out on this, because I was almost led into a transition at a very young age because the doctors didn't diagnose my autism." She said, "I'm autistic, and very often people who want to transition are autistic, and that's either not known or it's not fully understood, the relationship here. And so I then went into other sorts of therapies, and now I recognize that I'm not actually a boy and that I've got these other problems that I'm working on." But had my family not had the kind of basic common sense that boys aren't actually girls and vice versa, they would have chopped me up. They would have put me on all sorts of hormones and chemicals, could have sterilized me, really could have seriously damaged my life. And I think, how many other cases are there like this?
Yeah, and what I also find very disturbing is the mainstreaming of this trendiness towards non-binary. So, as I'm sure your audience and Ben's audience knows, there are two sexes, two genders. Non-binary is not a thing. This is just a very much it's a political movement, if anything. It's a way for people to say, "I'm a progressive," but instead they say they're non-binary. And there are now, I mean, surgical interventions being taken place to help facilitate someone who wants to live as something in between male and female. So you have double mastectomies that are available. I know you've talked about this previously, nullification surgeries,
yeah,
in which someone can completely remove their genitalia have a surgical intervention so that they have both sets of genitalia. And, you know, it's one thing I would say if there's maybe a medical literature to show that this is something that is a true phenomenon or that people are functioning better after, but even still, I mean, there's no legitimate scientific research to show that there's such a thing as living between both genders or both sexes. What I find disturbing, though, is that there is this more recent push in terms of scientific papers coming out that are claiming that this is a thing. But if you are in the field, I mean, you know legitimately that this is very much political. It's very ideological.
Well, and of course it is, because even if one were to indulge the premise of transgenderism, which I don't recommend doing and I certainly don't indulge, but even if one were to indulge that, I think the idea of non-binary has to be a step too far, right? The idea that we all are going to become Barbie dolls or something is just so obviously absurd. It does not exist, you know, anywhere in reality. It wasn't even a concept until about 5 seconds ago. And your point is so well taken that really when someone says, "I am non-binary," it's just a synonym for progressive. I'm not a stodgy conservative. I don't subscribe to that old kind of Christian morality or something. I'm a part of this new hip movement. But the consequences of this are really devastating. I've only got about 30 seconds left. But you mentioned that the hysterectomies are frequently done to prevent cancers, which, you know, no one ever talks about all the terrible consequences that come from the transitioning itself. But I have to imagine it's not great for a young girl's health to have her womb removed at 16 or 17.
No, and I mean, at that age, are they even really thinking about wanting to have children? I don't think most teenagers have any sort of conception about what they want to be doing, even into their 20s. So I've heard from so many detransitioners, and it just breaks my heart, because my hope is that not many more continue to make these decisions that end up not being right for them.
Of course. Dr. Deborah So, where can people find you?
You can find me at drdeborahso.com. You can get The End of Gender on my website and Simon & Schuster's website, and my podcast is available everywhere.
Deborah, so wonderful to be with you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. We'll be right back.
Premier, your friendly old change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, We strive to keep up with change. With our extensive training program, it's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I am not Ben Shapiro. I'm Michael Knowles. It's wonderful to be with you. I've been with you most of this week, and it's been wonderful. If you want more one day when I'm gone from this particular show, go check out the Michael Knowles Show at the Daily Wire, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, Google Play, Radio, wherever you get your fine podcasts. You can also get my book, Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds, number one national bestseller, no matter what the New York Times wants to say about it. Or Reasons to Vote for Democrats, a comprehensive guide proven truer every single day with all of its blank pages. I love getting into Ben's mailbag. Let's jump right into it. First question up from Mason. Hey, Ben, I just accepted a position to be a high school English teacher at a private Christian school. I'm not crazy. And what books do you think high school students should read? Obviously, your Third Thursday book club, but any more? Love the show. Thanks again, best, Mason. Off the top of my head, what should these high school students read? Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky. It's one of my favorite books I read in high school. Really, really important because it takes on this problem that we're confronted with in modern society, even though it was written, a century and a half ago. And the problem is nihilism or materialism or the idea that we don't have moral obligations or the idea that we can just pursue our own will regardless of logic or the moral order. And spoiler alert, turns out that isn't true. So Crime and Punishment's great. Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. I didn't really like it when I read it in high school, and I recently reread it. And what an amazing book. What a fabulous novel about virtue. That's a sort of delightful novel in and of itself. Another great English novel. A Tale of Two Cities, another one I didn't really like in high school, really, really love, especially that it's about the French Revolution. Fabulous, fabulous book. One that they might like in high school, and it's kind of dark and edgy and funny, going back to the Russians, would be The Death of Ivan Ilyich by Leo Tolstoy. And that's a great, it's a short little book, so the students, I think, will like it, you know. they'll get to have read a great work that is kind of edgy, and it's about death, and it's, you know, classic Russians just talking about death and despair and destruction. Really, really good. Those are just off the top of my head. From David. Good morning, Ben. What is your religious answer to claims of evolution and the Big Bang? Do they contradict religion, or can the creation story found in Genesis coexist with these ideas? Thanks. Oh, certainly can coexist. I mean, I'm not making any affirmative claims about evolution or the Big Bang or any theories, modern theories of creation, but it certainly can coexist with the traditional Genesis account. In fact, I know they can, because the Big Bang was discovered by a Catholic priest, by Father George Lemaître. And actually, the term, the Big Bang, was a term of derision initially by atheists and materialists, because they were fighting against this idea that a Catholic priest had discovered proof of the Genesis account, that creation happens out of nothing in what they called the Big Bang. So that I don't see any problem. And even with certain kinds of evolution, you have to be a little more specific with exactly what you mean by evolution, because there are many and sometimes contradictory views of what evolution is. But if it means that over time the bird gets kind of different spots by adapting to its environment, I don't see any problem with that. The only holdup, I would say, is that human beings need to descend from a common ancestor. We can't descend from different parents. This idea is called monogenism, that we all come from the same first couple, Adam and Eve. And the reason that's important is because without it, one cannot really make sense of the fallen nature of this world, of which is traditionally called original sin. If we don't inherit the sin of Adam, if sin is just a part of our nature, then that would mean that God has created something that is evil, and that is not possible. So that would create a problem. Or if human beings descended from multiple ancestors and not a common ancestor, the other problem with that is it would destroy human solidarity. And in a really modern political sense, the only coherent argument against racism is human solidarity, the idea that we're all brothers, we're all cousins, we all come from a common ancestor. If you don't have that common ancestor, then there's really no argument against racism or any other kind of evil that we find in the relations among humans. So that would be my caveat to that. Not an endorsement of any particular theory of creation, but most of them go along just fine with the religious account. All right, next question from Jonathan. Ben, do you believe it's morally acceptable to judge historical figures based on current social standards? I've heard the argument that we cannot judge people who owned slaves in this country because back then it was morally okay to do so. I don't agree with that at all. I still believe the slave owners are morally incorrect. What's your take? Well, there's a difference between a real active participation in evil and a passive participation in evil. And there are gradations of direct or indirect participation in evil. So if a man in the 18th century inherits slaves, and if a man is in an economy that is entirely dependent on slave labor, and in a political economy that is based on slave labor in large part, then is he morally obligated to immediately free the slaves? Well, it would be certainly financially irresponsible for him to do that. He might not even legally be totally allowed to, because he would ruin himself. He would go massively into debt. This would be an offense against creditors. He might wind up in jail for it. So there are lots of other things to consider. You think of someone like Washington, who on his death freed his slaves. Some would say maybe he should have freed them a little bit sooner, but he's born into a culture that has this evil as a part of it. And by the way, all of us have remote participations with evil. I imagine virtually all of us do, on a constant basis. You know, when we take a drug that was developed through stem cell lines derived from a baby's killed through an abortion, that is a somewhat remote, but nevertheless, it is a participation in evil. When we frequent a store that donates to Planned Parenthood, that is a remote, but nevertheless a participation in evil. When we pay our taxes to a government that then sends money to Planned Parenthood, that is frankly, even a little bit more direct, but still remote participation in evil. So are people going to judge us for that? You're damn right they are. When we if you run a business, if your business partakes of direct policies or even insurance policies to participate in abortion or transgenderism or anything like that, you are participating in evil to some degree, and you will be judged for that. So I just think it's a little more nuanced. Furthermore, I don't think the issue here is judging people in the past by current standards so much as it's judging people in the past by objective standards while neglecting their social contexts. Because morality doesn't change. The moral order is objective, and it's outside of us, and it's not just relative, and it's not just socially constructed. So good and evil really do exist outside of whatever you and I think. But social context changes, and so I think that should condition the way that we think about historical figures and maybe have a little grace for certain historical figures if we want a little grace for us, because we are involved in lots of evil things in the modern world. From Xavier. Hey, Ben. This is more of a question for a Christian or a Catholic. Well, you're in luck because you got one today because Ben's out. I assume you can answer it, too, because of how knowledgeable you are. It's a fact that Christendom branched out of Judaism. I think you probably mean Christianity. My question is, why doesn't Christianity carry over some Jewish traditions, such as observing Passover or celebrating Hanukkah? I mean, Christian and Jewish history is technically shared up until the moment of the establishment of the church. Sure. The answer, it's a really, really good question. The answer is that it does. It really does. Actually, in Christ's Last Supper is a Passover Seder. And so when Christ says, you know, this is my body, he's holding up the bread, he says, this is my body, which will be given up for you. Eat this, you know, and do this in memory of me. And the same thing with the chalice of the wine. That not only is invoking a Passover Seder, that is actually taking place at a Passover Seder. And you see the bread and the wine, which become transubstantiated into the body and blood of Christ, in the Mass, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. You see what other celebrations? Hanukkah. I guess Hanukkah, we don't really do too much about Hanukkah, though I'm happy to eat some latkes. But you see so many of the Jewish traditions carried over into Christianity, but in a different way. You know, the holy day, the Sabbath, is now celebrated in light of the resurrection, because Christians do not view Christianity as a break with Judaism, but rather as the fulfillment of Judaism. And so the New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. The New Covenant is a fulfillment of the Old Covenant. Mary's womb, Mary herself, is the Ark of the New Covenant being in Christ. And so so that is all there, you know, and even Israel being brought into the new Israel, right? So that is all there. You wouldn't see it as a break at all. At least Christians wouldn't. Okay, next question up from Elizabeth. Ben, common argument against the right to own an AR-15 is that the founding fathers had no idea AR-15s would be a thing and that the Second Amendment was made for muskets. Yeah, right. Obviously, this is easily debunkable. Debunkable, I like that word. But a leftist rebuttal I can't get around is the claim that the founding fathers, especially Jefferson, apparently wanted the Constitution to be rewritten every 19 years, thus making the words in it not concrete. Is this true? How can we refute this claim? Thanks, and love the show. Well, that's easily debunked. First of all, Jefferson said all sorts of kooky things that are not binding as law. He was one of, if not the most radical of the founding fathers in terms of how much of a liberal he was. And so he says, yes, every so often the tree of liberty needs to be refreshed with the blood of patriots and tyrants. I don't want revolution every 19 years, but even if Jefferson were to be taken seriously on that, how you think you're going to refresh that tree of liberty? He's assuming that all the people have guns and they can wage a revolution. So even by that kind of silly argument from the gun grabbers, it doesn't make the point they think it's making. It's actually making the opposite point. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Author Salman Rushdie is reported to be on a ventilator this evening after being stabbed just before a talk was to begin in New York Friday. Rushdie is also suffering from a damaged liver, severed nerves in an arm, and an eye that he may lose. The House passes the Democrats' so-called Inflation Reduction Act. New York Congressman Hakeem Jeffries says he believes that this is another step in Democrats delivering on everything from gun violence to climate change.
Another transformative bill brought to you by your friendly neighborhood Democratic Party. The Inflation Reduction Act will lower energy costs, confront the climate crisis with the fierce urgency of now.
Well, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says Democrats will regret this bill come midterm elections.
I know it is the people who will render the ultimate verdict on today's actions. And when they do, 87 days from now, my Democratic colleagues will have only themselves to blame.
Legislation, which now heads to the president's desk, won't directly address some of the main drivers of surging prices, from gas and food to rent and restaurant meals. Meantime, the Secretary of the Treasury is issuing an order related to the newly approved funding to hire 87,000 IRS agents, funding added to the Inflation Reduction Act that passed Friday. Janet Yellen says new funds should not be used to pursue more audits against small businesses or those making under $400,000 a year. Republicans say that that's exactly what's going to happen. Mortgage rates are on the rise again. Freddie Mac says the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage wasn't an average of 5.2, now 5.5. More at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than $1 a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. With Angie, you could cross your next project off your to-do list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need and we'll handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. Or browse reviews, compare quotes from pros, and connect instantly, all for free. For everything from routine maintenance to a dream remodel. Because however you want your project done, we'll get it done. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
With a homeless population over 80,000, up over 46% from last year, Los Angeles is proposing local hotels give up some of their rooms.
The responsible hotel ordinance would have hotels report available room inventory after 2 p.m., and vouchers would be issued at fair market value for lodging. No details on just who would pay for the rooms. Hoteliers say if the plan goes through, their ability to do business will be adversely affected, and they fear for the safety of their employees and guests. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Arizona officials plan to use shipping containers. It's an effort to close a 1,000-foot gap in the border wall near the southern Arizona farming community of Yuma. Republican Governor Doug Ducey's office says they're acting to stop migrants after repeated unfulfilled promises from the Biden administration to close that gap. News and analysis at townhall.com. Johnson & Johnson is pulling the plug on worldwide sales of baby powder containing talc next year after it did the same in the U.S. and Canada. Bob Agnew reports.
The company says talc will be replaced by cornstarch after it faced thousands of lawsuits alleging its talcum powder caused users to develop ovarian cancer or mesothelioma, a cancer that strikes the lungs and other organs. The overwhelming majority of medical research supports J&J's claim that talc-based baby powder is safe and does not cause cancer. Still, the controversy put a drag on sales, prompting the company to remove talc from the product it sells in most of North America. Bob Agnew reporting.
At least 14 people are hurt after a car crashes through the front of a Washington, D.C. bar. Reports say it sounded like an explosion when it ran through the front of Ireland's Four Courts pub. Get more details on these and other stories at townhall.com.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight has spent 20 years in politics and worked for two presidents. She was just named the new White House press secretary. Please welcome to the Late Show, Karine Jean-Pierre.
Yes, the propaganda apparatus of the Democratic Party. CBS Entertainment, CBS News, ABC
Entertainment. Lovely to meet you. Thanks for being on.
You have a different
head.
Live audience.
Than I
do. Exactly. touch me here. I love it. Give me a good paddling. It's a lot of love out there, a lot of love. You know that Stephen Colbert has a prohibition on using President Trump's name. He does not speak his name out loud. If Stephen Colbert, because of the hate cult, and, you know, they're crazy people. And if they put up a headline with Trump's name, they blur it out, they exit out, they cover it up. And yesterday, the Attorney General of the United States came out and made a statement with no question, Soviet style. And he did not speak Trump's name. It's like this Voldemort thing. You give him power when you speak his name. Is that right? Is that the thing? And so Merrick Garland, I guess, following the lead of Stephen Colbert, CBS late night alleged entertainment, Democrat Party propaganda. Karine Jean-Pierre on last night. She was, and boy, the lefties, they went online and they really want to have sex with all of their people. They honestly do these postings after she appeared on Stephen Colbert. To call it adoration would be an understatement. These people are unwell. A lot of dysphoria going on in their lives, all kinds of dysphoria. I picked up my Washington Post today at my front door, and the near-banner headline, FBI searched for nuclear documents. That's right, now he's Julius Rosenberg. He is, and he's going to have to, it's going to be the electric chair for everyone. I was like, you ever see the videos of the witnesses to Ethel Rosenberg's execution? You know, these Democrats that gave the nuclear secrets to the Soviet Union. They're communists, but same thing, you know, really just a hair's difference between them and barely. It's like a marmoset hair. It's a very narrow, thin, fine hair of difference between them. FBI search for nuclear documents. And yeah, but the Ethel Rosenberg, we actually pulled the audio at one point and played it. It's kind of funny, depending on, you know, your sense of humor, perhaps. But one of the witnesses talking about the ghastly plume of smoke.
Kind of a ghastly plume of smoke that rose from her head.
See, there, Michael's got it right there. He's quick on the trigger there. He's the Wyatt Earp on the sound bites. There, one of the witnesses to the Ethel Rosenberg electrocution. The execution, because she was a communist, and Democrats are still making excuses for her to this day. I kid you not. The Soviet Union was not a nuclear power until these two Democrats working inside the Democrat government, you know, the deep state, handed the nuclear secrets over to the Soviet Union. And then, voila, as they say, they became a nuclear power because commies inside the government. Now, you know, who isn't? Honestly, Joe McCarthy was a man ahead of his time. FBI search for nuclear documents. Sources say files were classified. What classified? Nuclear files? That's how about the, 30 million pages of documents that Barack Obama took with him to Chicago in a convoy of trucks? Looks like we got us a convoy. How many of those? It'd be impossible for a president to take 30 million pages of documents and none of them be classified. Let me just, that's a straight-up fact. But here it is. Garland signed off on search of Trump home. Those are the two sub-headlines. And they've got four Democrats typing up on behalf of their party, typing up this press release. Devin Bartlett and Josh Dossie and Perry Stein and Shane Harris. And they're all disgraced to their families and to Western civilization. So we got that going for it. And the story is really something. Classified documents related to nuclear weapons were among items FBI agents sought. Doesn't say that they found or seized or confiscated, that they sought in a search of former President Donald Trump's Florida residence on Monday. Listen, comma, according to people, plural, familiar with the investigation. Well, where do these four reporters, were you guys like at an orgy or something? You have, they're like at monkeypox lunch or something, and they got multiple people telling them the same thing. This, they got sources, at least two and maybe more, that told them that they sought nuclear documents. Experts in classified information said they've got experts in classified information that they spoke to. I think they're probably going to be anonymous, too, because said the unusual search, you mean unprecedented in American history, but commonplace in third world banana boat hellholes. The unusual search underscores deep concern. They're deeply concerned among government officials about the type of information they thought could be located at Trump's Mar-a-Lago club and potentially in danger of falling into the wrong hands. What are the wrong hands? The Secret Service protective detail that's at Mar-a-Lago every day? What are the wrong hands here? I don't understand. The people, the people who described some of the material that agents were seeking spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss an ongoing investigation. See, because they had to be anonymous because it's an ongoing investigation. As you know, whenever you ask a spokesperson at the podium to comment on this, they say, well, we can't comment on that because it's an ongoing investigation. But multiple people went to the Washington Post and told them about things that they're not supposed to talk about because there's an ongoing investigation. And now it's on the front page of the Washington Post. And they spoke on the condition of anonymity because they're criminals who are undermining our democracy, and they should be in handcuffs for leaking sinister fractions of. And you notice the cautious use of the. They sought but did not find. They once were lost, and they're still lost. So they requested anonymity. They spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss an ongoing investigation. They did not offer additional details about what type of information the agents were seeking. See, that's so what does this tell you? It tells you that there, and it doesn't tell you anything about nuclear documents. What it tells you is that there are slime balls all over the FBI and the Justice Department who are undermining President Trump yesterday and today. They'll do it again. And over the weekend, they'll do it again because they hate him. And it's a hate cult. And that's the thing. So they did not specify, the Washington Post says, because they, you know, whether they were weapons belonging to the United States or some other nation, nor did they, who spoke on the condition of anonymity because it would be illegal, probably a felony, to go spilling. And every time you ask him at the podium, oh, I couldn't possibly discuss that. But since the, you know, it's like monkeypox love between the FBI and the Washington Post, they're spreading the stuff all over the Washington Post. A Trump spokesman did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The Justice Department and FBI declined comment. When they say the Justice Department and FBI declined comment, what they're lying here is that that they pretended to ask them for an official statement, and they said, well, we couldn't possibly comment on an ongoing investigation, but since we have sex together all the time, and we, you know, we're dressing up in Melania's clothes in her closet, we'll tell you guys at the Washington Post. There are just four reporters at the Washington Post who are told, so it's a very tightly held secret, and there are multiple people at the FBI or the Justice Department who are leaking these things about an ongoing investigation to the Washington Post in an effort to damage President Trump, who once again called this a hoax, said that the whole nuclear story on the front page of the Washington Post is another hoax because, you know, the Democrats, this is what they do. So I've got that going for you. And that's the big story today because the deep state. Have I mentioned that we have deep state T-shirts and coffee mugs at the Chris Plant store? Looks like a State Department logo, but it says Department of Deep State. You got to look real closely. Even State Department employees don't recognize it immediately. And you see it's the Department of Deep State. And it's kind of fun. And has the Chris Plant Show logo on the sleeve. Very tasteful, very discreet, not ostentatious at all. But President Trump said nuclear weapons issue is a hoax. Just like Russia was a hoax. Two impeachments were a hoax. The Mueller investigation was a hoax, and much more. Same sleazy people involved. Well, the same, and maybe some more, because, you know, how they are. He said, I wouldn't allow the FBI, why wouldn't the FBI, rather, allow the inspection of areas at Mar-a-Lago with our lawyers or others present? Made them wait outside in the heat. Wouldn't let them even get close. Said, absolutely not, in quotation marks and all caps. Planting information, anyone, reminds me of Christopher Steele dossier. So that was President Trump's response to the Washington Post story from the anonymous sources at the crooked, corrupt FBI, which continues to spiral into the abyss. You know, people like to say spiral downward, but you don't really have to say, downward spiral because, you know, when we're talking about these, it's always a downward spiral, right? I mean, if you're in a fighter jet, you can do an upward spiral and even a sideways spiral. But when we're talking about this, it's always a downward spiral. I think everybody knows that. Pretty amazing stuff. So this is the latest episode. You know, stay tuned for tomorrow's exciting episode of the Let's Get Trump from the, the permanent bureaucracy, sometimes called the deep state. Sleazy, slimy, and they're breaking the law every time they do this, and nobody's ever held accountable. There are never leak investigations because the fluffers like Christopher Wray, that snarling, sneering FBI director, who, really the debate here, is he worse than J. Edgar Comey, who criminally leaked the dossier through his law professor pal in New York to the New York Times and gave a wink and a nod to CNN on the dossier and, you know, Russian hookers peeing in his own bed, which is strange behavior for a germaphobe because the Obamas had slept there with or without Larry Sinclair, I think is the question. And honestly, how do you get riled up with Larry Holmes' arms next to you there? I don't understand. But that's me. I don't hang out with Larry Sinclair, do coke in hotel rooms and things like that. But Attorney General Merrick Garland said he could not discuss the investigation on Thursday. The Washington Post has the temerity to write this stuff, that the FBI and the Justice Department declined to comment, and then Attorney General Merrick Garland could not discuss the investigation on Thursday. Yet there's a front page story with all kinds of multiple anonymous sources talking to the Washington Post about exactly what they're not supposed to talk about. Isn't that interesting? Because it's smear by leak. It's fake government by leak. It's persecution by leak. And I'm not talking about the vegetable, but that's your government. That's your deep state. That's your permanent bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. But in an unusual public statement at the Justice Department, he, Merrick Garland, he's a Mary, announced he had personally authorized the decision to seek court permission for a search warrant, which would seem to fly in the face of what Newsweek magazine reported, that Merrick Garland was in the dark about the raid. Now, he didn't take any questions from the press because it's a Soviet-style left-wing government that we have in Washington, and why would they take questions? It reminded me of the final scene in the Parallax View, a great Alan J. Pakula conspiracy film from the 1970s, Warren Beatty and Paul Apprentice and Hume Cronin. It's a good movie. I like it. Fun stuff. And in the end, you know, there's it's kind of based loosely on the Bobby Kennedy assassination, and it's a fun. I'm not a conspiracy person, but it's a fun conspiracy movie. And at the end, they have this star chamber of judges in a big government room at a dais with a big government seal behind them, and they say, "Well, this is not a press conference, gentlemen. This is a statement. There will be no questions." And when the Merrick Garland left the room, the news media, remember when President Trump was in a room and he started to leave the room and the press just went berserk like a gang of banditos from hell, screaming at the top of their lungs, throwing stuff and knocking chairs over, breaking windows in the White House. Yesterday, when Merrick Garland was walking out without taking any questions about this historic event, there were, I think one person said, "But please, won't you stay?" And he actually stopped and turned to them, and still they didn't yell anything. And I had my questions already ready to go. I said and I would have shouted it at him when he was walking out of the room, like the crook that he is, like the weasel that he is. I would have said, "President Obama left Washington with 30 million pages of documents. Are you going to raid his house? Mr. Attorney Generalissimo?" See, and I would maybe call him Mr. Attorney Generalissimo, which for Democrats listening along would apply that he's from a third world dictatorship. You know, like, you know, Generalissimo Francisco Franco, for example. But we don't have news media in the United States of America. We have a gang of well-lubricated fluffers who perform daily acts of journalistic gratification upon their political party, the Democratic Party. And they don't do journalism. I'll tell you that much. And honestly, just shout the question. Barack Obama, President Obama, left with 30 million pages of documents that have been uncovered, undercover for more than 5 years. Are you going to raid his house? And if he, then I'd have a follow-up, you know, which they never do.
This is an announcement, gentlemen. There will be no questions.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FACE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FACE. Enjoy!
Dak Prescott here. Why do I choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because better sleep elevates my game. Only my Sleep Number 360 smart bed helps me fall asleep faster, keeps me cool, and effortlessly adjusts for my best sleep. The result? 28 minutes more restful sleep a night. That's more focus, more edge, and more highlights. And that means more wins for all of us.
Don't miss our weekend special. All smart beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL.
Ah, traffic.
Right.
This wagon commute is killing me. You mind if I turn on your old radio?
Oh, this song again. I swear they play the same three chants on every station.
At this rate, it's going to take a fortnight to get to work.
Well, just be glad you don't need to fill up. I mean, have you seen the price of hay?
Mm-hmm.
Throughout history, people have always hated to commute. That's why Monster lets you search work from home jobs. Find your job at monster.com or download the app.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Today on Hey Culligan, better water that cares. Jane's on the line.
Hey Culligan, how can I avoid using all those plastic water bottles that harm the sea turtles?
Jane, our always-on drinking water system helps eliminate the equivalent of 15 billion single-use plastic bottles a year. So, you see, Culligan cares about sea turtles, too.
Aw, plastic pollutes and Culligan cures.
That's catchy, Jane, and totally true.
I'll take it, like now.
Jane, we're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with a local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Eve Terrell Paul, she's author of a book called Hungry.
Identifying yourself by what you don't eat on its surface can seem silly. A lot of these behaviors are driven by things like loneliness. Food on social media is a social currency, but also a way to facilitate connection.
Join Mike Carruthers and guests for Something You Should Know. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, we're just beginning to scratch the surface this morning, which is more than CNN does all day long. We do more before 9 a.m. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to after 9 a.m. But it's an old Army commercial. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Marco calling from Springfield, Virginia. Marco, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Marco.
Hey, I was telling your caller there, screener, that I want to thank you for the promotion you gave me last time we talked. I'm not a retired officer. I'm a retired enlisted man.
Oh, I knew that,
but,
too.
yeah, I just don't want anybody to think that I'm masquerading as a retired
officer.
Yeah,
right, yes. Well, senior non-commissioned officer.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But anyways, I was watching Jesse last night, and they had Terry Turchi, who is a retired deputy FBI assistant, talking about how our great attorney general, Garland, when he was, I forget what level judge he was, but would not approve a subpoena for them to search the Unabomber's cabin, Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah.
Obviously a very dangerous person, but you wouldn't approve a subpoena to get to that guy's place, but you would for a former president of the United States. It's a joke.
You think that reveals? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Pelosi going to Taiwan was not a diplomatic mission. Pelosi going to Taiwan was a mission for her son to make billions of dollars with Chinese companies. And it's like, it's such a joke. If you see when they asked her about her trip with her son,
yeah,
she was obviously lying.
Yeah, it's she was talking. That's how you could tell.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our fall semester offers flexible class times and formats with online and more in-person offerings. Plan your tomorrow today by enrolling at Shasta College. Fall semester classes begin August 15th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, it's Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Axiom Repertory Theater wants to thank the Rancheria for their generous grant to help support the arts and our theater in the community. Thank you so much for being a wonderful partner.
Hey, from all of us at Riddick Sports Club, we want to thank Reading Rancheria for all that you guys do for the community and for helping us out. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advance Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Yeah.
bum 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 bum. Yeah, that was Marco that called in. And I know Marco, my best girl and I, we know Marco. Marco has come along on sea cruises, and he's a great American, career Army non-commissioned officer. If I misspoke last time around, and I apparently did, my apologies. You know, non-commissioned officers are the backbone of the United States military everywhere you look. Everybody knows that. Foreign militaries envy our non-commissioned officer corps. Because they're the element that makes everything work. Officers come and go, you know, they want to get into politics, let them, you know. Some of them are great, naturally. But, let's see, he said that that our Attorney General, Merrick Garland, who was nearly on the Supreme Court but was prevented from getting the Supreme Court, really by the turtle, by Mitch McConnell in the Senate, who then ushered in the age of three Trump nominees to the Supreme Court, which has caused the Democrat Party to launch assassins who want to murder three Republican nominees. Members of the Supreme Court show up at Brett Kavanaugh's house with a gun and duct tape and, you know, coat hangers and whatever they, you know, pry bars, whatever the Democrat showed up with. And, of course, the Democrat Party mobs that show up outside of the homes of six Supreme Court justices, not the leftists, not the, you know, just the ones that know what a woman is. The Democrats, at least one of them, we're quite certain, does not know what a woman is, which is setting the bar pretty low, pretty low. But, you know, the Democrats, they unleash the wrath of Khan and they burn your cities and attack the police and suicide attacks on Capitol Hill and New York City and Dallas and Baton Rouge. They set themselves on fire for Earth Day, the Democrats, you know. Does that make sense to you, Michael? Setting yourself on fire? Dousing yourself in gasoline? I just want to check, man, see if that makes sense to you. No? All right, that's good news. That was the answer I was looking for. Now we can move on. All right, last night on the Fox News Channel, there was a former FBI Deputy Assistant Director. They have lots of titles like that in Washington. You know, first you have a director, and then you have a deputy director, and then you have an assistant director. Then you have a deputy assistant director, because the government needs to grow like a tumor. It's not a tumor. So former FBI Deputy Assistant Director of Counterterrorism, Terry Turchie, T-U-R-C-H-I-E, Terry Turchie, was on the Fox News Channel last night. And he revealed something that he said he had never revealed before, and that's what my friend Marco was talking about. In fact, our next Alaska Sea Cruise is next week. It's next week. And lots of great Americans coming along. We're going to have a swell time. And it's in America, mostly. A little bit of Canada, too. Got some Canada. We should just make them a state, whether they want it or not. Give them the Second Amendment, you know, and the First Amendment. All right, we'll give them the whole Bill of Rights. Okay. All right, so here is former FBI Deputy Assistant Director for Counterterrorism, Terry Turchie, last night, talking about his memory of Merrick Garland, who was at the time a Department of Justice official and a judge, and he has been around for a long time. In 1995, when the Unabomber was busted, and he was, by the way, the Unabomber was an environmental extremist. That was his whole cause. That's why he was blowing people up. He was a frustrated academic, wannabe academic. He was a PhD candidate, and he was blowing people up with mail bombs and things because of, you know, the fish. It's the old existential joke punchline. It, because the weather, because the clouds in the sky. And he lived in a shack. I mean, really a shack. It was like a garden shack. And he was a bearded loon and, you know, a Democrat in good standing with the Democrat Party and a mad bomber because, you know, the overwhelming, vast and overwhelming majority of terrorists in the history of this country are leftists and Democrats and anarchists. And, you know, that's just look at the world today. And now they've taken over the government and the Democrat Party. Honestly, it's happened. It took them generations. But here we are. And here is Terry Turchie last night describing the Unabomber incident, 1995, where Merrick Garland would not allow a warrant to search the plywood shack that was occupied by the environmental radical Ted Kaczynski, a.k.a. the Unabomber.
Merrick Garland was in charge of the prosecution at DOJ of the Unabomber. And I have to tell you something. He would not recommend to the AG that our search warrant to get into Theodore Kaczynski's cabin be approved. He and his group of attorneys had us working till 2 or 3 in the morning of April 3rd. And finally, the AG, Janet Reno, along with Louis Freeh, they stepped in. They approved the search warrant anyway.
How about that? They approved the search warrant anyway. But the that was Janet Reno. She's the one that burned down, the Branch Davidian thing and killed, 80 people. We're not sure. It's about 80 people, but they were burned to a crisp to the point where they couldn't actually count the number of children and women that had burned to the ground there, along with the, Waco, Texas compound of the Branch Davidian Christians. They were Christians, and they had guns. Two things Democrats hate. Okay. Of course, they're going to have to buy a lot of guns for their IRS agents, aren't they? I assume there's some kind of a deal, a wink and a nod, Nancy Pelosi style. So here is Terry Turchi last night.
That was a case where we had bombs on airplanes. We had threats to blow up airplanes in midair. We had people killed with bombs for 18 years. He wouldn't do anything. He would not recommend to the AG that we get into that cabin on April 3rd. He didn't see the urgency then, and he didn't seem to care about agents being up all night trying to get ready for that. But on this, this is how he handles this?
Yes, yeah, this is how he handles this. Yeah, the raid of Donald Trump's home. Just don't call it a raid. The news media just don't call it. They won't call it a raid. They even talk about it on television. They say, well, we can't call it. We shouldn't call it a raid. No, we're not going to call it a raid. And then the rank-and-file Democrat says, well, we can't call it a raid because I'm a glassy-eyed zombie and I take my orders from my political party. It's unfortunate that your political party is as insane as it is. Yeah, Ted Kaczynski, the environmental radical extremist Unabomber, bombing campaign of the United States from 1975 to 1995. For Democrats, that's 20 years. And, boy, that's amazing. And who was there at the time but Merrick Garland? Because, he's like herpes. Just, keeps coming back. You just can't. You try rubbing them out. You try scrubbing them out. Pretty amazing. Whack a doodle do. Telling you. There it is. All right, let's see. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Glenn calling from Alexandria, Virginia. Glenn, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. I promise to make this quick. I just wanted to quickly comment on the disparity of we're talking nuclear launch materials, oh my God, or nuclear weapons. They delay a whole weekend. They get the authorization and the actual search warrant on Friday, but they don't serve it till Monday because, hey, nuclear weapons, we could wait a whole weekend. And the other thing is the FBI was there on a couple months ago in the basement where the stuff was, and all they said was, just slap a second lock on the door. It's only nuclear weapons codes. Come on, man. That's all I wanted to say. It's just stupid is that they expect us to believe that.
Well, they expect us, and I'll tell you what, half the country believes anything that half the country is told by the state,
that's
as long
bad.
As it's the Democrat Party and the left. And I think a lot of them like being lied to. I honestly think that they live a life where they prefer the lie to the reality. Right?
Absolutely. Yep.
It's amazing. And you're absolutely right, of course. The FBI was there. And and they had a discussion, and President Trump was there, and he walked in, and they exchanged pleasantries. And one of the security experts said, well, this is where the boxes are, the files. And they went in, and they looked at the boxes and the files and said, but, let's put another lock on the door. So they put another lock on the door, which the FBI broke their way through the other day.
Yeah.
The lock that they asked be put in place. And then, of course, they brought a safe cracker, and they cracked President Trump's safe. And I would imagine he's Donald Trump. I would imagine he's got a huge safe, right? I mean, he's probably got a safe, like, bigger than my college apartment. and you can walk into it and make coffee and stuff, I'm guessing, in his safe.
Yep, yep.
But they cracked his safe, and then the joke was that, you know, it was Al Capone's vault. There was nothing in the safe that they cracked, which is a pretty good trick to play on him, pretty funny. And now they're leaking.
Hunter Biden smoking crack, yeah, yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, again, Barack Obama left Washington with 30 million pages of documents, and they have not raided Barack. Now, you think that's all unclassified material? There's nothing about, you know, nuclear things in 30 million pages. There were literally tractor trailers, a convoy of them, with CB radios driving from Washington to Chicago with 30 million pages of documents. And Barack Obama said, oh, we're going to have them digitized and turn them back over to the National Archives. 5 years later, not a peep out of them. Don't have a single page, according to the National Archives, they don't have a single page of these 30 million pages of documents that Barack Obama left town with. You know, I mean, that calls for an airstrike, I think, based on, you know, based on the, because we're talking about President Trump earlier this year handed over 15 boxes of documents. Apparently they looted 10 more boxes of documents the other day. Now, we're talking about literally tractor trailers loaded with documents with Barack Obama. What kind of filthy third world banana boat are we running here? And the answer is, well, you know, the Democrat Party is the left now. And the left is, you know, they're not liberals. They're the left. And this, you know, the Democratic Party isn't.
Yep.
That's it. All right. Thank you, Glenn. I honestly tell you, it's nuts. Now let's go to Tim, calling from the great state of Ohio. Tim, you're on the Chris Plant Show. Oh, where's Tim?
Great show, Tim. Or great show, Chris. I'm sorry.
I'll be Chris. You be Tim.
I know, right? My whole thing is, look what they did. They took the war that the China. Leading up to the war, right off the headlines, they just quelled it with this one thing. So the timing is they did this to pull off the World War III, pretty much. So World War One, who's the famous guy that triggered World War One?
Well, when Archduke Franz Ferdinand was assassinated by a Serbian terrorist.
That's correct. And World War Two, who's the most famous person attributed to World War Two?
Probably my father, Jules Ortaig.
Oh no, he was the savior.
Well, you got your the bad guys. You got your Adolf Hitler, of course. You know, the Socialist Workers Party of Germany that launched it in Europe, and you know, then the Emperor Hirohito, of course, in Japan. And here, you know, the Democrats just keep getting us into wars. You know, the Civil War, World War One, World War Two, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. You know, that's the Democrat Party loves war. Now, Joe Biden, we got war in Europe with Joe Biden here. We had peace with Donald Trump around the world. China was in check. Putin was in check. We were prosperous. Everything was great. Gas prices were below $2 a gallon, and everything was great. Then we elected these lefties, and look what happened.
But see, once they raided Trump's thing, China stopped shooting over Taiwan. They stopped... I think China went back to China, didn't it? And just left Taiwan alone?
Either that or the news media just stopped talking about it, because we have a news media that is a monolith, and they can only talk about one thing at a time. And if Trump is one of the words involved in the story, then they're obsessed with it, like Joe Biden is obsessed with smelling little girls, you know, like Hunter Biden is obsessed with glass pipes and Russian hookers. You know, there are obsessions, and then there are obsessions. And honestly, you know, Nancy Pelosi was on the front pages because it turned out she took her son, Drunk Jr., was named Paul Jr., to Taiwan. And it turns out these are amazing stories. And I'm glad you brought it up, Tim, because these really are amazing stories. Nancy Pelosi's son went Paul Jr., not the one with the drunk driving thing. And the, you know, you think you got $100 million or $200 million. You'd maybe have somebody drive you when you're going out drinking. That'd be an easy call, wouldn't it, with all that money? But I was looking at this today, and the, you know, the Democrat Party and the Communist Chinese are like two pigs in a sleeping bag wrestling around at this point. Nancy Pelosi's son is a top investor in a Chinese telecoms company. Now, who has that story? It's not the Washington Post, because they're not a newspaper. Democracy died there a long time ago. But August 11th, 2022, the Daily Mail, Nancy Pelosi's son, who secretly joined mom on her controversial trip to Taiwan, is a top investor in a Chinese telecoms company, despite House Speaker's campaign to tackle China's corporate influence in the United States. Isn't that amazing? Nancy Pelosi's son, Paul Pelosi Jr., 53 years old, second largest investor in a $22 million Chinese company. Paul secretly accompanied his mother on her controversial trip to Taiwan last week and is seen in photos alongside Taiwan's president and other top Taiwanese officials. Paul worked for the telecom company Bork Technologies. This is fine, right? And Hunter Biden is flying on Air Force Two with Dad to China. And he's doing business there and then lying about it and then got caught later. And then Joe Biden said he never talked to his son about business. And here's a bunch of pictures, a whole photo album of pictures of Joe Biden with Ukrainian business officials that Hunter Biden's in business with Chinese business officials that Hunter Biden's in business with. And Hunter Biden's a crackhead, stripper knocker-upper, Russian hooker chaser. Why are all these foreign companies paying him millions of dollars for his business expertise? By the way, this is also the party of Eric Swalwell, who had a years-long, apparently, sexual affair with Fang Fang, the Chinese secret agent who took Eric Swalwell from a city council seat in California to the House of Representatives and the House Intelligence Committee. No problem there. And, of course, then there's Dianne Feinstein. Dianne Feinstein, who had a Chinese secret agent on her staff in her San Francisco office for 20 years before the FBI quietly said, you know, you might want to fire the Chinese spy on your staff. They didn't raid her home. They didn't raid her office. Honestly, this is, this circle fest in a hot tub is getting to be a little too much.
I like to be close to the children.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Sire?
Mm-hmm.
I just graduated first in my class at Stonemasonry School.
I know, that's why we hired you.
Yeah, cool. But I was wondering why all I've been doing is sweeping the floors and providing slop for the hogs.
Well, how else do you think you learned to stonemason?
By stonemasoning, maybe?
How does that make any sense?
Throughout history, people have always been undervalued at work. That's why Monster lets you search salary by major. Find your job at monster.com or download the app.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Who are you? I'm you, from the future. What do you want? I want to tell you about Dave. Dave has your future money. Spend it on whatever you need. With extra cash from Dave, you can get up to $500 instantly with no interest and no credit check. Download Dave today when you go to dave.com/radio. That's dave.com/radio. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC.
My heart was racing just making spaghetti. I could have waited to tell my doctor, but I didn't wait.
I was short of breath just reading a book. I could have delayed telling my doctor, but I didn't wait.
They told their doctors and found out they have atrial fibrillation, a condition which makes it about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you have one or more of these symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, this is no time to wait. Contact your doctor.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man on foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost some legs and left hand in an explosion.
DAV helps veterans of every generation to get the benefits they've earned.
To see Alex learning to snow ski, that's life-changing.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
How long does it take to tackle a home project? With Angie, you could cross it off your list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need. Indoor, outdoor, repair, or redesign. And we handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. You don't have to lift a finger, except to tap the screen or click the mouse. Plus, Angie is free to use. So bring us your next home project, and we'll bring it home. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Eve Tarot Paul. She's author of a book called Hungry.
Identifying yourself by what you don't eat on its surface can seem silly. A lot of these behaviors are driven by things like loneliness. Food on social media is a social currency, but also a way to facilitate connection.
Join Mike Carruthers and guests for Something You Should Know. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Backyard grillouts are better this summer with the Omaha Steaks All-American Assortment. Visit omahasteaks.com, enter Sizzle in the search bar, and fill your freezer with 16 mouth-watering entrees like butcher's cut filet mignons, pork chops, boneless chicken breasts, and more. Plus, 8 ultra-juicy Omaha Steaks burgers free. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Sizzle into the search bar for a special price on the All-American Assortment, and get 8 Omaha Steaks burgers free. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword Sizzle.
All right, let's go back to the phones. I've got, the New York Times, I'll explain everything about the American news media with one story involving the New York Times. And more Democrat crazy stuff, lots of it. Let's go to Steve calling from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Steven, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Steve.
This talk about nuclear codes is making me nervous because they always accuse Trump of what they're guilty of, right? I mean, they said Russian prostitutes, and that wasn't true, but there's literally videos of Hunter with Russian prostitutes.
Yeah, he posted the videos himself, just in case there's any doubt. And he bragged about it. And, Hillary Clinton also gave away nuclear secret during a presidential debate in 2006. Do you remember this, Steve? Here's Hillary. 2006, the third presidential debate. And there's the soundbite.
Here's the deal. The bottom line on nuclear weapons is that when the president gives the order, it must be followed. There's about 4 minutes between the order being given and the people responsible for launching nuclear weapons to
there
do so.
Now, that was classified information she gave away at a... And still no handcuffs, no raids, none of that stuff. You're in Colorado Springs. You know about this stuff, Steve.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.